This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Are the fireworks over yet? I was just hovering in the corner. Don't make it go boom again. Got online, see if they made those thunder shirts for grown-ups.
It was hard to sleep last night.
Is it just me, or were there more fireworks this year?
There were more.
I mean, more illegal neighborhood fireworks.
Mm-hmm. I heard police at one house. That was it.
I thought there were fewer. Especially in the lead up to the 4th of July weekend.
And the burbs, dude.
Yeah, my neighborhood crazy.
My neighborhood usually like Beirut, and it was not last weekend.
Nearby last night, apparently, one family with one kid decided they would put on their own private show every night. And it went on again and again and again.
Oh, for the
and again.
Couple nights in a row,
and
you
again.
Mean?
No, like five nights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It amazes me they're illegal, and they're still everywhere.
Yeah. Well, imagine if you're a cop, though, and you're supposed to shut those down.
You can't. I mean, it's impossible.
Right? This all goes to the larger question. I want to make this a week-long project here, and it's the Make America Greater project.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what I said there. Not Make America Great Again. Make America Greater.
Greater.
As a matter of fact, I wrote a blog about this yesterday. It's up at WGNradio.com and wherever my blogs appear.
Are we going to get hats that say Make America Greater?
Take a while. Yeah. I'm tired. But Make America Greater. But here's the thing. Remember the sandwich story from last week? I was coming back. Dave, I don't know if I told you this. I was coming back with my brother, who doesn't fly. I went to New York to pick up my brother and drive him back.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped in Indiana for gas. And there was a guy blocking the gas pump. Not literally, but like standing outside his car. He had a motorcycle trailer, so he was actually blocking two pumps at one time, which is a neat trick. And he was outside his car, and he was fiddling around in the back seat. And for a minute, younger guy, for a minute, I thought, well, he's got a baby. He's trying to do a diaper in the back seat. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I'd been there. So I gave him a couple of minutes, and I gave him a couple minutes more. And then I thought, well, you know, polite over. And I got out of the car, and I politely said, sir, you're blocking a pump. Would you mind moving up? And he goes, yeah, can you give me a minute? And he turned to me. And he had a knife covered in mayonnaise, and I could see in the back seat he was making sandwiches.
Oh, jeez.
When you said he had a knife?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not my first story. So he had a knife covered in mayonnaise, and there's literally like four slices of white bread in the back seat. Well, it's Indiana. Four slices of white bread, and he's putting mayonnaise on the... And I stood there for a second because, A, interesting place to make sandwiches. And secondarily, I thought, in what part of the world are you from where you decide to block access to the public gas station because now's the time to make sandwiches in the backseat? Because what I'm telling you is he wasn't pumping gas. I never saw him pump gas.
He was just making sandwiches.
He was making sandwiches.
Was there anybody else in the car?
Well, I didn't look. I assume he had children in the car, right?
Right.
It seemed like an apparent move. We're making sandwiches.
Oh, he wasn't like selling the sandwiches off to the side.
Could be. Don't know. He pulled like 40 yards up and stopped and made more sandwiches. And I thought, sell the motorcycle. Get yourself some lunch. But he's making sandwiches, and I'd never seen that move before. So the point is, make America greater. Let's think about other people. It's great that you want to have a 4th of July celebration and you bought illegal fireworks.
Right.
Okay, it's great if you do it for maybe a night. But you got to do it for four or five nights. It's a bit much. You're making sandwiches at the gas pump. It's a bit much. Every time you pull up to a red light, what are you doing? You're texting.
Right. How about
that? And I've got to honk my horn to get you to move.
That happens every day. Every time.
So I would just ask you this week, as part of Make America Greater, the cause without hats, Make America Greater, that you think about other people in the world. Now you may be saying, Steve, you're telling people to think about other people? You? But actually I am. Yeah. Yeah, because I think I'm pretty good about that. I think I'm pretty good about sharing the world with everyone else.
Yes.
I don't, especially in public. You know, if you, this always comes up at the holidays, at Christmas time. You pull into a mall, pull into a place, and there's somebody that gets in a car, and you're looking for a place to park. And suddenly it's 45 minutes before they pull out of the spot.
Yeah,
if you're in a car, get out of the spot.
And it's not just
pull up
women.
Next to the guy making sandwiches.
It's not just
He's
women.
At the end of the parking lot.
Right.
Okay, but
women take an hour and a half. To pull out of a spot.
Women take a lot of time, but I've seen men take a lot of time.
Saturday, I was in a parking spot in a garage adjacent to a mall.
Okay,
I was getting situated in the car with my wife.
Yeah,
just getting ready to pull out of the parking space.
Right.
There was a person waiting for the space.
Yeah, get out.
Okay, I was getting out.
Yeah.
The person behind them is honking at them to move while they're waiting for my space.
Did they have a signal on indicating they were waiting for your space?
Yes.
Okay, so the person behind them is, what's the word I'm looking for? A jackass.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Was Karen making sandwiches?
With the guy with the motorcycle. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And selling fireworks.
Okay.
How bizarre would it be if that guy appeared everywhere I went now?
Sure, he was making sandwiches.
All right, so that's the text question all week long. All week long. How do we make America greater? And it's just a question about things we need to stop doing and thinking about other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fitting because we can continue the 4th of July mood through the whole week.
Exactly. Yeah. Andrea Darlis, WGN.
Oh, I'm going to love this category.
Make America greater. And that's the whole premise of the blog, by the way.
It's like a gripe session. Yeah.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, Mary, but yes, it is perfect for you. The blog is specifically about that. This is a great country. It's the best country. There's nothing close. Nothing close. Even with all of our problems, there's nothing close. But we could certainly be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make America greater. I got to get a hat. 6:17, Nick will be on in a second. John DeCoste is here. John has a Nick song. Nick has finally earned a song. It took him 30 years to get his own show. Now, 3 years later, he's going to get a song. Stand by for that. But first, we get traffic. Mary's up on the 7th floor watching it because it's higher up there.
Never go to the window. Never look behind the curtain. And that is where our story begins.
It's the new Spielberg. As Nick DiGilio joins us now, and we'll premiere Nick's theme song here in a couple minutes. Nick, what is it? WTF, BFD, what is this thing called?
the BFG.
BFG. Big frickin' guy. Is that it, Big Frickin' Guy?
No. What's really funny, Steve, is that almost everybody thinks the title of the movie was Big Giant.
Uh-huh.
But in fact, it's Big Friendly Giant.
Big Friendly Giant.
That's right. And that's just kind of the sense of humor that Roald Dahl has. The guy who wrote this story years ago is also responsible for Matilda, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Roald had a very interesting and weird sense of humor, and that's massively on display in this movie, which is much more a Roald Dahl movie than a Steven Spielberg movie.
He's a great writer. He's a great children's writer, and there's two or three that had this warped sensibility. You know who was also really good was the Captain Underpants dude. The Captain Underpants dude was underappreciated through the years. And who was the guy that wrote all the? Yeah, never mind. I'll look it up. But I like Roald Dahl. And by the way, it's not Ronald, it's Roald.
Right. R-O-A-L-D. Yeah. It turned out this weekend, one of the lowest, openings for a Spielberg movie ever. This thing drastically bombed over the weekend. It came in fourth. One of the Purge movies beat it. By more than double.
Well, because it's kind of in a niche category, right? Because giants, by nature, scare little children.
And exactly.
And this giant had kind of a scary face. And so it's not really for little kids. And medium-sized kids, maybe it doesn't work for them. So I thought it was a miss when I saw the trailer.
I got to tell you, my folks and I went Saturday evening, 5:30, in the IMAX, in the big IMAX, 12 other people in the theater. I knew this thing was in trouble. Like when I just could not believe that there was no one there. But the movie, it's not good. I'm not recommending it. There are some really wonderful special effects sequences in it, some good action scenes in it. And again, the effects are amazing. And I can't talk enough. I know you love Mark Rylance, Steve, because we talked about how good he was and he won the Oscar for last year for Bridge of Spies.
Yep.
This guy is so wonderful in this movie. And, you know, his face is distorted because of CGI, and they make him look weird. But you can totally see the work that Mark Rylance does. Like, you can see it. It's not overwhelmed by the effects. It's a truly, really wonderful, wonderful performance. It's so good that I almost want to recommend the movie. Almost. But not quite.
And why is that?
It's a mess, man. It's tonally, it's all over the map. It is really strange. You know, there's the second half of the movie, the final third, I should say, of the movie, when they reach out to the Queen of England to help them stop the evil giants. It suddenly becomes this weird, it started out as, you know, like kind of this surrealistic kind of children's tale with a little girl and a giant who meet up and be friends. They end up in the world of giants and things like that. And then suddenly it becomes this strange subpar Monty Python thing where they bring the giant into the Queen's castle and he's knocking stuff over and chandeliers and they're feeding him food. And then there is the most extravagantly, and this is really strange, the most extravagantly 5-minute setup flatulence sequence that I've ever seen in like a PG-rated kids movie.
So did Judd Apatow have some hand in producing this or something?
No, I think it all goes back to Roald Dahl. I think it's just Roald Dahl's twisted little sense of humor. There's like a 10-minute elaborate special effects filled fart scene in this movie.
How bizarre.
And I don't think I've ever seen Spielberg direct a scene like that. I mean, it involves a bunch of people and a bunch of dogs farting and flying around a room. And I was like, what's happening here? So it's a little strange. And that's not the only thing. The theme to this movies, the movies that I saw this weekend, was flatulence. Because the other one that I saw is Swiss Army Man, which stars Paul Dano as a guy who's on a deserted island. He's going to kill himself, and a dead body washes up on shore, played by Daniel Radcliffe. And he begins a relationship with this guy, becomes his friend as a dead guy, and is also very flatulent. And 90% of this movie are fart jokes. It was fart central over the weekend at the theater.
I would have walked out.
Crazy.
I would have walked out.
Are we just clear out of ideas?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
really?
Listen, Swiss Army Man is a terrific movie. And
not with that scene. No, I'm telling you. I don't. Am I the last person on the planet that doesn't find fart jokes funny? Ever? I mean, I'm the guy that doesn't want to watch the bean scene in Blazing Saddles.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's
gross. No, listen. I think the thing about Swiss Army Man, if you know, you want to talk about an original movie, this is as original as it gets. And I'll tell you something. In these days where everything is a sequel, you know, the top three movies this week, sequels: Finding Dory, Tarzan, and The Purge. Everything that's out is a sequel, and there's no imagination. Swiss Army Man, whether you think it's funny or not, is one of the most original movies I've seen all year. A guy has a friendship with a dead body, and uses that dead body in fantasy sequences to try and escape from the island. And Paul Dano is wonderful in it. Daniel Radcliffe is great as the corpse. It's a really funny, original idea. And there's a lot of farty in it. I don't care about that, but that's not the main thrust of the movie, no pun intended. But that's at least it's an original piece of work.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It sounds pretty weak. This is why Hollywood's not making any money. Just, you know, they just continue to put out stuff that nobody wants to see. When is the next movie people want to see?
Well, you know, next week is the big animated movie that a lot of people are looking forward to, and that's the Secret Life of Pets. You know, which is, you know, not a sequel, animated from the makers of the Minion movies. And it's about what happens when you go to work and your pets are home alone. And it looks very, very funny. That's the big one for next week. And then there's another, you know, I'm assuming there's probably going to be a fart joke in that movie called Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates with Zac Efron, Adam Devine, and Anna Kendrick.
And who's Adam Devine? Is that the guy from Modern Family?
Yeah, he was in Pitch Perfect, too.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in, I don't watch Modern Family, but he was in Pitch Perfect, and he's on Workaholics on Comedy Central.
It's funny, dude.
He's the Manny.
He is funny.
Yeah, the
he
Manny. Yeah, I like him.
All right, well, let's get on to what really matters here, Nick, and that is that John DeCosse is here. And how long did it take you to get your own show? How many years?
To get, like, a full-time show?
Yeah.
over 20 years.
And now, after 3 years of your own full-time show, you have a theme song. Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm absolutely ready.
The great John DeCosse is about to debut this. Anything we need to know, John, before you play this?
No.
All right. Again, great setup. Nice sell. Here's John DeCosse singing about Nick DiGilio and Nick's new theme song.
another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again. What to see, what's out at the show? I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GM's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
That's ridiculous. That's so good.
Awesome, John.
That's so good.
Woo!
Okay, hang on.
It's ridiculous.
Hang on. John, did you climb into my brain? Because that Go West song is one of my favorite songs of all time.
It's one of my favorite songs, so we've never talked about that.
How about that?
Amazing. The King of Wishful Thinking by Go West. I love that.
I got to know what Nick is thinking.
It's awesome.
That's awesome, tremendous. John.
It's total awe and respect out of it. I'm not kidding you. That was so fun to do.
Now, the weird part, Nick, is when you make that your ringtone, by the time you pick up the phone, the person calling won't be on the line. You know, they'll be gone. So,
And I think John is so generous. He said every time Nick plays it, he only has to give him $1,000.
Oh, that's perfect.
Good.
Really
good,
cool.
Good. Is that coming out of my pocket or Jimmy's?
Yours.
Oh, that's a good. It's Cole's cash, though.
Yeah, in Cole's cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be used within 3 days, and it can't be used today. Nice job, John DeCoste, the latest Nick's theme song. By the way, before the day is over, you're going to Cleveland next week.
Yes.
And it's not because you lost a bet.
No, it's for the Republican National Convention.
And John's done a song for the convention, which we want to play as well. John, can you stick around for a while?
No.
Okay.
It's 2 weeks, by the way.
Is it 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 weeks.
We can debut it, though.
All right, Nick, thanks, man. Hold the line, and we'll come back to the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, Kid of the Year, Kid of the New Millennium. Probably won't be around for that one. Here's what you need to do for Kid of the Week. Let us know about a kid doing something great. Child needs to be between 5 and 18. You submit your entry and just tell us why this kid is something special. Could be a small thing, could be a big thing. It's all about perspective. Doesn't have to be charitable, but it's great if it is. Doesn't have to mean you're saving a life, but it's great if they do. Whatever a kid does, including getting over some troubles in their own lives. 2016 Kid of the Year is chosen from all the Kids of the Week. You're going to meet another one here in just a second. And it'll be awarded a $5,000 prize, courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. All the inventory available at rayandraymonddeals.com. Go online to wgnradio.com/contest to submit your entry. All right, it's 6:41. Let's say hello to Lily right here. Good morning, Lily. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Nice to talk to you. How old are you,
nice
Lily?
Nice to talk to you, too. I'm 14.
14. So are you a freshman yet?
I'm going to my sophomore year of high school.
By the way, we got a note about you, and it referred to you as a fresh woman. Do you prefer fresh woman to freshman?
Either is fine.
Yeah, but is this a term I've missed? Is this something new, fresh woman?
I don't know. The guy who referred me is kind of funny, so I think he was trying to make a joke.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Freshman, fresh woman, either way, I'm your friend. And it's Lily Alter, correct?
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about your family. First, one of many kids or just you?
I have one brother and my mom and my dad.
And your brother's older or younger?
Yeah, he's older. He's going into his sophomore year of college.
And where's he going to school?
He goes to Xavier in Cincinnati.
Well, that's a good school. Does he check back on you? Does he make sure you're okay? Or is he selfish?
Yeah,
is it all about him?
Yeah, he calls and he texts.
Okay, good. And so you guys are close?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. And it sounds like you have a nice family. All right, so I love hearing about someone your age who understands something at a different level, because it took a long time for me to get the scourge of homelessness. But when you get it, you get it. And Lily, there's a place out in Aurora called Hesed House. And Hesed House is one of the most amazing facilities to deal with the problem of homelessness in the country. And they taught me a lot about it. And I've done some work for them through the years. But here you are at 14, Lily. You know, Am I all your friends running around going, do I feel pretty today? Am I? Those are the boys, by the way. Running around worried about social media and, you know, who likes my post and how many followers do I have and have you seen my Instagram? But no, you're doing a good thing here. So tell me how you came to have a different understanding of homelessness.
Well, I go to a church that on Mondays during the year, the school year, mm-hmm. they have a working homeless shelter. The organization is called Housing Forward, and they're not just at my church. There are a bunch of different churches around my city, which is Oak Park, and around different cities in the Chicago area. And although they have awesome shelters, their main goal is to transition people who are homeless into stable housing. So they also do that. So I've provided kits for both homeless women in shelters and some products for people in transitional housing, and they're called Housing Forward.
Yeah, and the campaign in particular, one of the campaigns is called Flowing Forward as well. Now, here's the thing. You know, listen, until Lily brought this up, mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't thinking about this, but there are homeless women on the streets as well as homeless men and homeless women of all ages. What about basic hygiene? Basic hygiene and basic hygiene kits. And here you are at 14 and you thought of doing this. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I actually thought of it because my English teacher was a grant writer. So she had us write a mock grant proposal. So I looked up issues on the internet and sure. I read an article in the New York Times about the tampon tax in New York. Which there are laws changing about that right now.
Wait, I don't even know about this. There's a tampon
Chicago had that too. Yeah, she's absolutely right.
You'd be charged to buy tampons?
Yeah, it's awful.
I mean, even though it's as necessary as toilet paper, people still have to pay for it. And it's
Oh, that is ridiculous.
She's absolutely right.
But
yeah.
It's dropped in Chicago.
It has just been dropped.
And it's going to be dropped
recently,
in New York,
though,
Lily?
Yeah, I think it was dropped in New York. I'm not sure, but I think it was.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Outrageous. Well, it's an amazing thing, and it's a really cool thing that you've done. Andrea, say hi to Lily.
Lily, I think this is absolutely wonderful. I had a friend of mine say to me one time, you know how you go to the hotels sometime and they have those little bottles of shampoo or perfume or just like body lotion? She said, we should collect these and then give them to homeless shelters. So it's my question to you, do you accept donations? What if people wanted to get you some supplies to for your foundation?
Yeah, I do I do accept donations. Okay. I've had donations of products from people who go to my church, people who found my website and my GoFundMe site and emailed me about it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I do accept
donations. Awesome. Okay, cool.
And it's cool that you took the time to research this and figure this out. You got any adult helpers, mentors, your parents, teachers? Who else do you want to thank?
My friend, Abby, actually, she helped me pack the kits.
Cool. Nice job, Abby.
And people at my church, people who donated to my site have been awesome, and the people at Housing Forward and the other charity that I worked with, Breakthrough Urban Ministries in East Garfield Park, just letting me donate kits so people can get the products they need.
Here's the thing, too, and again, this is one of the things I've learned from the people at Hesed House a long time ago, you know, because we talk about homeless veterans on the show and what a nightmare that situation is, but break it all the way down to just homeless folks. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice, God bless you if you're doing well, but if you're going paycheck to paycheck, you're a missed mortgage payment or two or a few more missed bills away from whatever stress you have in your life, creating even more stress, and the dominoes fall and you can end up homeless. There are people at Hesed House and various shelters around the country that literally get up in the morning and they still go to work, but they don't have a place to live. There are people that get up and they send their kids off to school because the kids are still going to school because these are responsible people who have just fallen on hard times and don't have a place to live. So when you walk by someone on the street here on Michigan Avenue, and I'll admit I'm a soft touch, but when you walk by someone on the street of Michigan Avenue and you don't even acknowledge their existence, it doesn't mean you have to stop and pull out your wallet and give them, you know, whatever money you have. But at least nodding or saying hello or saying something and certainly not saying anything negative, because shame on you if you do. You know, I'll let God deal with you down the road. But you don't know until you know. And the vast, vast, vast majority of people who find themselves in homeless shelters or homeless situations are not drug-addled and crazy. They are people who have hit the bottom for whatever reason they have, and they just need time to recover. So, Lily, I really thank you for what you're doing. It's amazing to do it at 14, but frankly, it's amazing to do it at any age.
No, thank you so much. And people like me, young people, can do this, even though, you know, some are obsessed with social media, and I still like social media, even though I raise money for this campaign. I'm actually doing it through a website, so lots of kids can do this and raise money.
Yeah, keep spreading that word, because we need more of you.
thank you.
Nice job by you. And the Ray and Raymond Chevrolet folks, thank you for that. We're going to give you a number of things, and you can do with them as you please, but I'm required by law to give you prizes. Hold on, Lily. Stand by. I love that
She's
kid.
She's awesome. Oh, yeah.
I love her. Wow. Yeah.
Getting it done. How about tickets to the 2016 USA Basketball Showcase, July 29th at the United Center, where you can see Carmelo Anthony, Jimmy Butler, and Kyle Durant. Who's Kyle Durant?
Kyle Durant, that's Kevin's brother, who a lot of people haven't heard of. He plays minor league. I don't know.
There's got to be Kevin Durant.
It would be Kevin Durant.
Guy goes to Golden State. He didn't change his name to Kyle.
No, he's not Kyle Durant.
Actually, the Thunder just signed Kyle Durant.
They did?
Yeah.
They figured they'd get a Durant and hope for the best.
KD.
Second cousin.
Because our new friend Lily works too hard, I want her to have a MyPillow.
Yeah.
Get her a MyPillow as well.
I don't think she ever sleeps.
It doesn't sound like it, right?
No.
Lou Malnati's gift certificate, Lou, home of Chicago's best pizza. Mm-hmm. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. How about an app gift card?
Yeah, give her an app gift card.
Gift card. New headphones or whatever else you'd like. All those as well. And I will not be giving her tickets to see Air Supply.
She probably wouldn't want to. Her parents might.
Right. That's a good point. I'll give her parents tickets to see Air Supply with Blood, Sweat, and Tears July 16th at the beautiful River Edge Park in Aurora. That's a fantastic facility. Get tickets online at riveredgeaurora.com. 630-896-6666. That's the telephone number. And Lily, you can also keep it or give it away. A ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug. And a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. In other words, everything on the sheet goes to Lily.
Yeah.
Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, again, sponsors of Kid of the Week.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
654, while we were out, Brian Campbell re-signed with the Chicago Blackhawks at a huge hometown discount. And it's a hometown discount because he still lives here. And Soup, who made his big-time broadcasting debut with me on the old afternoon show before I was fired and left the building. We're going to put the band back together. Is he in studio today or on the phone? He's live? He's coming in? Good. Brian Campbell will be in studio later on.
Excellent.
Also on the show today. Also on the show today. Martin Short.
Love him too.
Nobody funnier than Martin Short.
I knew that.
There's nobody. You look it up. If you went through the entire Yellow Pages. What? If you went through all the people in the world, there's nobody. You might say, no, Steve, there's a guy in New Guinea you got to meet. No, I'm telling you, there's nobody funnier than Martin Short. Pat Brady after 7. Yesterday, an author who I'd never heard of did an interesting little project. His name is Mark Dice. He started walking up and down the beach in San Diego, and he talked about why we celebrate the 4th of July with average Americans. Oh, boy. Listen.
What are we celebrating on the 4th of July? Exactly?
Our independence.
A little more specific.
It's the day that we overtook the South, and it's the day that it's our independence. That's why we have the fire.
From the South.
From the South, exactly.
So it was the victor of the Civil War?
Yes.
The Declaration of Independence was signed by who?
I don't know.
Just name one person.
Abraham Lincoln? I don't know.
Sorry.
Not?
What year was that Declaration of Independence?
Was it 1964? 84?
1984?
84? I don't know.
No.
1864?
1864.
I don't know.
What country did we declare our independence from?
Help me, baby.
Nope, just you. You're on your own.
California.
When Jesse Ventura and John Wilkes Booth and the other founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, what year was that exactly?
Sometime in the 1700s, I'm not sure.
How many stars on this flag?
50-something.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing that he did there, because, you know, Kimmel goes out and he shows you how stupid Americans are on a regular basis on a show. But the interesting thing he did there was he took the drunk girl on the beach in the bikini all the way up to the old guy who ought to know better.
Right. Well, I love the country of California.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's always.
And we declared our independence from the South. Let's lighten the load with Kevin Durant leaving for the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant leaves the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you might as well shut the franchise down. You know, I mean, you just send him back to Seattle, start over. Here is bear with me on this. Frank Caliendo, friend of the show, Stan McMeany, big sports fan. Kevin Durant wrote an open letter to Thunder fans about him leaving. What would it be like if Frank Caliendo as Morgan Freeman read that letter? Well, I'll tell you, it'd be like this.
This has been, by far, the most challenging few weeks in my professional life. I understood cognitively that I was facing a crossroads in my evolution as a player and as a man. And that it came with exceptionally difficult choices. What I didn't truly understand, however, was the range of emotions I would feel during this process. The primary mandate I had for myself in making this decision was to have it based on the potential for my growth as a player, as that has always steered me in the right direction.
That's incredible.
That was not Morgan Freeman. That was Frank Caliendo doing Morgan Freeman.
He's the master of that.
I just wonder if sometimes he goes home and he forgets who he is.
He can't even tell the two apart.
It's unbelievable. He does a better Morgan Freeman than Morgan Freeman ever did. Stand by. Pat Brady live in studio in a few minutes. We've got a lot to talk about, including the Hillary Clinton FBI interviews. Oh, those tapes are hot. Couple of minutes before 7 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I am not going to comment on the process. I have no knowledge of any timeline. This is entirely up to the department. I never received nor sent any material that was marked classified. And there is a process for the review of material before it is released to the public. I will continue to, be as forthcoming as I can. And my answers that I first gave more than a year ago, I stand by.
I find it hard to believe, as Pat Brady joins me, I find it hard to believe that Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch were dumb enough to not realize the fallout that would occur over Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch being on an airplane together while Hillary Clinton was hours away from being interviewed by the FBI.
Yes, just together. He walked across the tarmac at Phoenix from his private jet to her G5, and they had a half-hour conversation with, I guess, nobody else in the room, so no one knows what was really said. All the while, the Attorney General of the United States is going to be deciding whether or not to indict his wife, the presumptive Democratic nominee, likely next president.
Now, you made it clear how you feel about Donald Trump, but also as a lifelong Republican, just to be clear on the reason I asked you to join us today, it's more prosecutorial than anything else, because you were a prosecutor for how long?
11 years.
11 years. So you know what goes on by way of gathering evidence and what leads to an FBI investigation, what may happen in a sit-down, things of that nature. I want to ask about that. I also have a theory on why Bill Clinton did this, because Bill Clinton doesn't do anything without thinking about the consequences unless it involves his pants. So stand by for that, and we'll get to that. But I want to hear this clip. This is Hillary Clinton on with our friend Chuck Todd from Meet the Press addressing what we're talking about.
I think, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Both the Attorney General and my husband have said that they wouldn't do it again, even though it was, from all accounts that I have heard and seen, an exchange of pleasantries. But obviously, no one wants to see any untoward, conclusions drawn. And they've said they would not do it again.
From all accounts that I've heard, does she have her husband's mobile phone? Do they ever talk? What do you mean from all accounts that I've heard? Like she picked it up in the media?
Well, the thing that disturbed me about the whole thing, the meeting, particularly for the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, and it was a prosecutor.
Who, by the way, I think has done a pretty good job up until last week.
Yeah, and she's got a great reputation, had a great reputation in the Eastern District where she came from. But I had a case years ago where I was looking at a person whose spouse was an elected official, and I was at an event, and this elected official started coming over towards me when I was in the course of the investigation. She knew who I was, and it didn't take a millisecond to say, hey, you know what? This is not a conversation. I can't be seen talking to you. This is all bad. So I don't know why it didn't just, you know, lightning bolt.
And one of the things that came up in conversation was it put Loretta Lynch in an awkward position. The former president of the United States comes in and says, hey, can I come in and say hi? Yeah. Say hi. Right there.
Right there.
Right there in the doorway.
Well, this maybe is not a good idea.
Yeah, and say, you know, I'd love to catch up with you anytime, but considering the circumstances, I really can't even have this discussion with you about grandkids or anything else.
Well, and she knows darn well that the next day the FBI and her prosecutors are going to be interviewing Hillary Clinton, which means it's the end of the investigation. They're going to be making a prosecutorial decision shortly, and she's going to have a private conversation with the former president of the United States. And then in the New York Times states report that Loretta Lynch has expressed an interest in staying on as Attorney General.
Which just makes the whole thing shadier. By the way, I don't think for a moment that Bill Clinton walked in and went, how about if we get you a deal? How about if we do something, get you to stay along? I think they probably did talk about the grandkids. I think they probably talked about nothing. It doesn't matter. It's the appearance.
He wore the tie that Monica Lewinsky gave him
when
she was going to testify.
Right.
I mean, he thinks we're all idiots. We don't figure that out.
No, it's
obviously unethical, but is it illegal on any level for him to go over and start talking about
it's her responsibility.
If Hillary wins,
it's her responsibility.
But they literally, and by the way, Trump completely blew his chance to make the most of this weekend because he made the whole weekend about the stupid tweet with the Star of David being used. And when he should have been talking about the fact that Hillary and Bill had a little picnic with Loretta Lynch. It's 7:17, but he's an idiot. I don't know if I've ever said that before. Steve Cochran, 7:20. I like this. What is this, Jake?
The Gorillaz.
Strong. Good pick by you. Remember our slogan here, much more talk, much less music. Mornings with me on 720 WGN. All right, 721, Pat Brady's here. Pat, where do you work again?
Next Generation Strategies.
And you strategize there?
All the time. Big thoughts.
And Pat is a pal and a regular guest on the program. All right, as a prosecutor, what did Hillary Clinton go through when she sat down with the FBI?
Probably pretty cordial interview with probably some line prosecutors that were doing the actual work, some FBI agents, and asked questions about a lot of different things. I'm sure it was not contentious. And in these kind of cases, you don't interview the target or the subject of the investigation until the very end. So this nonsense she's saying, I want to come in and talk to him, I'm not sure. In those statements she made on Meet the Press, most of it was nonsense. This is a criminal investigation. She is the subject of it. And she sat with him for 3.5 hours. My takeaway from the meeting, though, is that she has many good lawyers working for her, that they are not going to put her in a situation to talk to the FBI or the Justice Department if they think that she's going to get indicted.
Is there a swinging light bulb over her head in this scenario and some guy with a newspaper who slams it down and goes, no, where were you?
I suspect it's a lot of lattes and some cookies and things. I don't think
Okay. All right. So
she took Cheryl Mills in with her, too, which I don't quite understand.
Remind me who Cheryl Mills is?
She was close confidant of her. I think she worked at the foundation.
Uma Abedin going with her?
Uma or Huma?
I believe it's Uma. I could be wrong.
It's Uma. Yeah. I don't think so, but she had her lawyers. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's 3.5 hours. It's really, considering the intensity and length of this investigation, it's not that long a time.
And in the course of this conversation that goes on, the FBI knows everything they need to know, but you have to go through the formality of talking to the person who's the center?
Yeah, but they normally don't come in. The government, it's up to the government to prove the case. So as a potential defendant, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to show up. You just can't obstruct.
So in other words, the really good attorneys that you just mentioned, if they thought there was a whiff of a chance she'd be indicted, they wouldn't have put her in a position to sit down and talk to them.
Yeah, because there's 1005 statute. You get caught lying to the FBI or something inconsistent, you walk yourself right into a dive. That's what happened with Hastert, Dennis Hastert. He lied to the FBI, and that was probably the major charge of his indictment. But I've never seen, really, when you bring somebody in, the defense brings somebody in when they think they're actually going to get indicted.
All right, so here's my theory to tie it back into Bill about why Bill Clinton walks across to say hello to Loretta Lynch. Bill Clinton knows cameras are on him everywhere he goes. He's known that since 1991, whenever he started running. He's probably known it since 88 when he did that incredibly long nominating speech for Michael Dukakis.
I got him on Johnny Carson, though.
But the fact is, Bill Clinton knew what he was doing. So he goes over to talk to her. I don't believe he made an offer. I don't believe there was anything that was untoward that was said. I believe he did it for a reason. I believe he did it to create the story. Now, here's where it gets interesting, I think. There's a whole group of voters that are going to decide this election that are called the sensible ones in the middle. The far right and the far left are never going to change their minds. As this thing is made into a big deal, and I think rightfully brought up from a political standpoint is a big deal, the middle that tunes into this is going to go, well, he didn't go over there and make a deal. What's the big... And the middle is likely to have some sympathy for the Clinton side of this. Now, it may sound like reverse psychology, but you give me another reason he goes over and he doesn't.
It's a good theory, but I'm more looking at what the attorney general did, and she should be recusing herself because you have to avoid the quote-unquote appearance of impropriety, and she had that meeting with this guy the day before her, or the president of the United States.
But why would Bill Clinton put her in a position to recuse herself?
I don't know. Maybe that's a good theory that or a theory that you have. I don't know, but we've seen him do things in the past in the campaign like he did in South Carolina, which don't seem like they're really well thought through when he did with Obama.
So, yeah, but that's usually in the course of a speech where he's fired up like he did it in Philadelphia earlier this year where the kids were yelling at him and stuff.
Well, you might be honest because she only does well when she's a victim.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Create more of the victim mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what happens?
Nothing. I don't think she'll get indicted. And probably the next couple of weeks will come out before the convention and say they don't acquit you. They just say we don't have
enough evidence
here to go forward.
Well, somebody brought up the notion this weekend that there would be some scathing report written. They don't write reports of this stuff, do they?
You really get a phone call. And the statement she made on Meet the Press, I was watching, I was laughing because most of it's just parsed words and nonsense. Of course there's a timeline. You talk to the prosecutors every day. Where are you guys on this? Where are you guys on this? You know, and then at the end of it, they'll come out and say, hey, you know, we're not going to charge. I mean, it might not even be a letter. It might just be a phone call. But there's not going to be any big report.
And for the folks that are wondering if the foundation, which frankly is much shadier than her email activities, if the foundation is going to be investigated, the length of time it takes to do these kind of investigations, there's nothing significant that can happen between now and November?
No, not unless they have a parallel or an investigation along with this email investigation, but I haven't heard about it and it hasn't been reported. I doubt it. I always thought, and I think we've said this many times, that that's the bigger area of probably criminal activity or bad activity is the foundation and the deals made with the foreign countries. But that's a big investigation. It'll take a long time.
So as shady as this is, all it does is reinforce her negatives about the fact that she's not trustworthy on any level. 70% is her untrustworthy number. And it just goes to show if the Republicans have put up a candidate that was anything other than this robotic nincompoop, Donald Trump, that they should be running away with this in the same way that she should be running away with it if she wasn't Hillary Clinton, the worst candidate.
Yeah, swing and a miss by Trump and with Hillary.
They're like two blindfolded boxers running into the ropes and falling down.
Yeah, to those of us old enough to remember, like Steve and I, that lived through the Clinton years, it's just this is what happens with the Clintons. It's a constant scandal about something.
Nah, the rules don't apply to us. Yeah. No.
She hasn't driven a car in 20 years. Yeah. I mean, she's really in touch with the people.
So, this first story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's been flying. It's they're so far removed from reality. That's why I get your theory, but I think with the Clintons, they've been getting away with it forever.
Yeah, but see, that would make her more like Trump, and I don't think I don't think they do swim in the same pool because Trump doesn't think the rules apply to him either, which is why he continues to do the ridiculous things that he does.
Yeah, he shoots those tweets out. And
oh my gosh! Well, he doesn't think. Especially with the Jewish Star of David ad. Come on.
By the way, people who think that the tweet is blown out of proportion, well, first off, you're entitled to be offended if you're offended by it. Secondarily, the reason it's offensive is that it came from a neo-Nazi website that is somewhere on the web that somebody in this massive Trump campaign of 47 people should have been able to say, hey, boss, I don't think you should send that out, except for what we know. And what we know is Trump does what he wants when he wants, which is why he continues to put his own foot up his butt.
That's why he's getting creamed in the battleground states right now. So it's all bad. But this thing with Secretary Clinton, that's probably the next president. It's just another Clinton-ism that we're going to have to deal with. But this is what we're looking forward to.
So if you can hang around a second, I want to ask about the vice presidential thing as well. Unless you had one. Do you have something else for Pat?
No, I'm going to do part of this is the big story as well. Okay. About the Trump tweet.
It's amazing. Continue to send in the How to Make America Greater. This is my premise, Pat. We don't need to make America great again. We need to make America greater. because America's already great.
I agree.
And the negativity is nonsense.
What a great holiday, 4th of July.
Isn't it great driving around and seeing the flags?
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, I saw more flags this 4th than I've seen in years.
Mm-hmm. Golf flags or flag flags?
Both. I didn't see actually golf flags as much because I missed a lot of greens. Here's how you make America great. And I should say make America greater. Stop texting at traffic lights.
Absolutely.
Stop blocking access to public anything.
Yeah. Can I throw one in too?
Yeah, well, you're going to be the punchline.
Okay.
Stop texting when you're walking across the street. And somebody texted this in. You don't get to park in a handicap spot because you have the placard and you're borrowing the car from mom. You know, and you just sit there and your engine idle while somebody runs into the store just real quick. Turn signals. Use your turn signals. Let people know that's why they exist.
And then turn them off.
Yeah, and when you're in the city of Chicago, pedestrians may annoy you, cyclists may annoy you, but they're not as big as your car. Pay attention. How about this? Say thank you. Or how about this? Just say no. If somebody asks you to do something or leaves you a message and there's something you don't want to do, just tell them no. What? Just tell them no, I can't. I'm not talking
why
to you necessarily.
But he's looking at you.
Don't take your kids to PG-13 or R-rated movies if they're going to make a lot of noise during the PG-13 or R-rated movies and distract the other people. Mm-hmm. Don't text during a movie. These are just some. Say thank you. Man, how about that?
That's right.
How about holding doors for people, men or women, if they're behind you? These are all simple things that you can do to make America even greater. And not one of them has anything to do with a red hat worn by a dope that owns buildings in New York. It's 7:30. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
$7.39, make America greater. Andrea, what are you going to tell me about that?
My thing, my rule, or my request to make America greater, stop throwing things out of your car window, whether it's a piece of gum, a cigarette that's lit, or a bag. Do you notice I'm so tired of people throwing, you know, they'll go to a fast food restaurant, they'll take the bag and think that, you know, the road is their dumpster.
I haven't seen that in forever.
Oh.
Now, I see people throwing stuff out of cars, but like Pat, again, when you and I and Dave were growing up, regular littering.
Yeah, exactly.
Regular littering where people would take their garbage and throw it out the window. But I haven't seen that in forever.
You really don't see it very often.
I see it maybe living in the city. I see it. But I saw a guy the other day, I'm not kidding you, took a newspaper, you know, the actual paper. He had been reading it and tossed it out the window.
Literally, kind of a moron. The pages flying into the windshield behind you.
I almost called. The city has a non-emergency number, 311, for potholes and things like that. I almost called it, and I thought, no, I'm not going to be that person. But that's just awful. You should get a ticket for that.
I actually followed somebody into a parking lot who, the last time I saw somebody toss something out of the car.
Oh.
And it was a couple of kids, and I made them go back and get it.
Good for you.
Yeah. This had to be 10 years ago.
I think it's
great. I called a guy out once for the placard handicap thing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sitting there idling?
No, he walks in through, parks there, walk into the grocery store, hey, you look pretty good. What are you doing parking there? And he didn't take too well that.
Oh. Yeah. Did he move his car?
No, he just looked at me, ignored. Most people ignore me, but he goes. That's
be a bad sign for us if that were true. And at some point you have to not care whether or not people are going to be upset with you because you have to actually do the right thing.
Right.
Well, that's a good one of the things. Everybody become a little less sensitive to every little statement.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not just about you. The rest of the world is not just about you. And yes, I'm saying that. We'll get to some more of these coming up. Texters at 312-981-7200. I wrote a blog about this yesterday, just about how great this country is and this notion that we have to make America great again. We're already great. We got lots of problems to fix. But let's be positive about how good it is here and how great it is here. And let's make it even greater by stop doing stupid, selfish things.
And how great was it last night? Were you guys watching the fireworks displays, even all weekend long? How great it made you feel. So cool.
It was great until like 1 in the morning when they were still shooting off bottle rockets next door. Somebody's got to do a show. All right, at 7:42, Pat Brady's here. Vice President possibilities. I'm hearing names that are the usual suspects. To me, it's got to be Chris Christie. because he was the lapdog for Trump, and Tim Kaine on the Democrat side because, again, he won't get in Hillary's spotlight in any particular way.
Plus, he helps her in Virginia, and McAuliffe, the governor there, has got some ethics issues. So that's a big state for her to win. So Kaine makes some sense. I think Trump's going to pull a head fake, though.
What's he going
to
do?
He's going to take a lapdog, whoever it is. He won't be Christie. It'll be some head fake. Somebody's going to listen to him because no one really wants to do it.
You think he's going to do nothing for Chris Christie, or does he become attorney general?
He's not going to win, but I think this,
let's say in the nightmare scenario.
But Christie, I think, still has open investigation of the Bridgegate stuff, so I'm not sure if he would. You know, you got to go through a Senate confirmation. I like Chris Christie, but I think he's going to do it. It's going to be some kind of head fake where he takes something out of the box.
Right. But is there someone out of the box that you can think of?
I can't think anybody wants to do it. They were talking Scott Brown, the former senator from
Massachusetts. He's got his own ethical issues.
And, yeah, he's got that would not be – that would be not a great choice either. But who's going to take it?
Christian Slater.
Where did he come from?
Lou Ferrigno. Can't you see Trump just picking somebody that's not involved in any way, shape, or form?
No, that's why I think it'll be something that nobody's talking about right now.
Male or female?
Oh, it'll be a guy. It'll absolutely
so?
Be a guy.
You don't think it'll be a woman?
Be
I
a
don't
guy.
Know.
No, it'll absolutely be a guy. This is because Trump doesn't like women.
His numbers with women are so bad.
And he's earned it.
Every bit of it. But yeah. They're really... I still have my theory for the guys, the suburban guys that can't do anything for Trump because she'll kill me theory.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, too. Right. But I also think Hillary should ask Biden to stay.
I think he'd be a great pick.
Yeah.
He would be.
So
he's got that. He's really connects with voters. I mean, when his son died and the things he did, he was really.
Yeah, and
really
the cancer initiative now that he
would
took
he
out.
Do it, though?
I don't
would
know.
Would he say yes?
I don't know.
I bet he would.
Yeah.
But, aside from the age thing, he's the perfect guy to be in that number two chair.
Yeah, I don't see the Elizabeth Warren thing. I was watching them the other day. I'm like, man, that's getting yelled at twice watching those two.
Right.
Yeah, as a woman, I don't see that dynamic. I just don't.
Well, there is also, and you know, this is not a sexist statement. This is a statement of reality. There is a notion, whether it just goes to the privacy of the voting booth or you say it out loud, having your mom yell at you twice. And that's, that's, you know, when your mom's mad at you, it's not fun. And your mom's mad at you and she's the president and the vice president's your other mom and she's mad too.
I don't disagree
with
you.
It's like your mom and your aunt, they're both yelling at you at the same time.
And she is out there to the left on policy, way left. And I don't think Hillary can go that far left.
When do those announcements come, convention or before?
Well, they usually do them before, right before to create a buzz. I remember when... George Bush took Dan Quayle. They did it at the convention to get the buzz, and then the buzz went the wrong way. I remember McCain did it right before and came out of the convention. Sarah Palin gave a great speech, and he came out five up. So who knows? With Trump, anything unconventional will probably happen. With Hillary, it'll probably be next week sometime.
This is Nichols compared to the financial problems we have, not just in Illinois, but in Washington as well. But one other story before we let you go. Bernie Sanders is still getting Secret Service protection. His Secret Service protection costs something in the neighborhood of, is it $40,000 a day?
Yeah, so
yeah, $40,000 a day. And if he sticks around till the convention, it'll cost taxpayers another $2 million. He has Secret Service protection in the Senate chambers and in Congress. The Secret Service literally stands around in a place that's more protected than just about anything in the United States, and he doesn't need it. And even Democrats are saying this is Bernie's ego trip. Is there any way to make that stop, or does he have to make it stop?
I don't know legally if there is, but I would assume he's got to make it stop because, you know, he's entitled to that protection as if he's a presidential nominee or candidate, and certainly don't want to see anybody be harmed. And there are a lot of whack jobs out there. So as long as he's still in it, he gets it, but I don't know why he's still in it.
Right, because he said himself that she's going to be the nominee.
And yeah. He would vote for her.
Well, think about it. This guy's been preaching the same message for 40 years, and now he's getting the attention, and he wants to leverage it.
I'm not sure people know, but outside of the Senate leadership, and like Nancy Pelosi, who's abused the privilege forever, senators even of the most senior, the highest seniority, they don't get protection. And if they get protection, they have to pay for it.
Right.
You have to be an alderman in Chicago to get free protection.
Some aldermen.
But
the mayor and the county board president have two cars, which I've never figured out.
Right. That's odd to me, too.
Well, you don't want to leave one in the driveway. See you Thursday.
Absolutely. Thanks. All happy 4th, guys.
Thanks. And nextgenerationstrategies.com. Thank you.
Thank you, man of the 80s. Thank you.
747.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Martin Short next hour. Brian Campbell in studio next hour. Is it next hour or 9 o'clock hour? When's Campbell
next
coming
hour.
In?
Next hour.
Next hour. Okay. Brian Campbell, in case you missed it, has re-signed with the Chicago Blackhawks. Could have made a bunch of money going other places, but wanted to come here and win another cup.
Do you call him Soupy?
Well, Soup, Soupy. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cuter when it comes from you.
I won't call him Soupy.
You can call him anything you want. Yeah. Over the weekend, more gun violence in Chicago. 50 plus, is that the number I heard?
Yeah, we had more than 50 and then 4 fatally shot.
And we had literally hundreds of cops on the streets in Inglewood and other neighborhoods. What's the assessment? What are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that Superintendent Eddie Johnson is saying that this was, although it was bad, it wasn't as bad as years past. If you compare this to 2 years ago, 60 people shot in the city of Chicago. Again, it's a very high number to most of us, especially over a holiday weekend, 4 dead. Among the injured 3 children. But he did again say that they're pushing out this effort. Every couple of weeks we cover something at the TV station. We cover a press conference where they're rounding up a lot of these gang members and charging them with gun crimes, or they're out on probation. So they're not being charged with high-end crimes, but they're gathering them up. And they had a bunch of arrests on Thursday, and they had several dozen more on Friday. So they're trying, he is trying this to round up these gang members.
I guess I would just say to everybody, don't lose your outrage. Not just in the neighborhoods, but everywhere. We had a 4-year-old kid who was shot in the face last week. And I just don't know how we can just check it off as regular. You know, it's the same thing with terrorism.
Right.
You know, 5 major terrorist hits in the last 7 days. Mm-hmm. And we just go, wow, it's a shame. What else is on?
There was a story from last Friday after the Lyle Festival. I covered this, and it was a high-speed police chase. It started as a robbery in Tinley Park and ended on the south side with 8 injuries. This was a horrific crash.
I remember that. Yeah.
And people in the neighborhood were talking, and they were saying, you know, you always say, what would you like to see? What can be done to stop a lot of this violence? And many of them said, well, more police officers on the street isn't going to help. I think it will. I think it will.
Well, I mean, that's the midterm to long-term solution, because time will tell, but it's just horrific. It's horrific to be, you know, what, a mile away from some of the worst violence in the city and go, well, what am I doing about it?
Right.
You know, what are any of us doing about it?
It has to start at home. It really does. It has to start with the families. Keep your kids in school. You know, some of these, the boy who was, when I say boy, he was 16 years old, I believe 15 at the time, when the woman was shot walking outside of the Starbucks. That's a kid.
Right. Well, that's the thing. These are kids shooting kids.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Olympics scheduled to appear in August. These are the Olympics that would have been in Chicago, and they're not. And in Rio, science has discovered a super bacteria untreatable by antibiotics in the water off of Rio where the sailing will take place. And where you have to believe... you know, there's got to be some sort of city water supply that's dependent on the same one. How many Brita filters do you need in Rio?
Oh, my God.
Isn't this the one they said that got into the water through the hospitals?
Mm-hmm.
It was somehow some filtration system through the hospitals there?
A lead researcher named Renata Piqueo says the superbacteria entered the city's waterways when sewage coming from the local hospitals got channeled into the bay and the water from the bay backed up. Said we've been looking for super bacteria in coastal waters during a 1-year period in 5 different beaches. We found the threats occur in coastal waters in a variety of conversations. They're strongly associated with general pollution. The news comes as Rio prepares to host hundreds of thousands of athletes and tourists during next month's games. Among the beaches flagged were Flamengo and Botafogo, which border where the Olympic sailors are scheduled to compete. So where the course is cordoned off for the sailors, the beach next door on either side has the super bacteria. Now, Dave, I don't know much about water, but it does flow where it wants to flow.
It does seem to do that, yes.
It's unbelievable. One insider, a Paralympic sailor, believes the super bacteria caused a severe skin infection in one of his teammates that led to emergency hospitalization and near death.
This happened a while back, actually. I mean, there were teams
March and April practice
getting some practice in, and people were getting sick.
Well, this should make you feel better. I guess their head of filtration had said over the weekend 51% of the city's sewage is now treated.
Okay, that's good. That's over half.
Right.
You're right. That is good news. And on the other side of the world, in the UK, Nigel Farage, the head of UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party, quit. He quit the party. This is a guy that, if he didn't start the fire, he certainly fanned the flames that created the vote that led to the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. It led to trillions and trillions of, I mean, trillions and trillions of dollars bleeding out of markets worldwide. Legitimately or not, it happened. It also has led to great economic insecurity, not just for the UK, but for Europe in general, and incredible amounts of money having to be spent to try to figure out how the UK will actually leave the European Union and what the European Union will do about it. Nigel Farage quit.
Right. He said he wanted his life back.
Here's a quote.
I have never been, and I've never wanted to be, a career politician. My aim in being in politics was to get Britain out of the European Union. That is what we voted for in that referendum. And that is why I now feel that I've done my bit, that I couldn't possibly achieve more than we managed to get in that referendum. And so I feel it's right that I should now stand aside.
So in other words, everybody in English government is quitting. The prime minister's quitting. The opposition leader's quitting. Boris Johnson quit the idea of him becoming the new prime minister.
They're leaving the country.
I don't want to, you know, listen, I don't want to make any problems for the UK because they're our number one ally. But can't we send Hillary and Trump over there? You guys go run that country. We'll start over here. Or maybe we'll run it for a while without anybody. It's kind of what's been going on in Congress. 7:57, back after this, got the news coming up next hour. Dean Richards, provided he woke up after last night's short sleep, he handled the Channel 9 fireworks festivities. Martin Short later, and Brian Campbell back with the Hawks and live in studio, all coming up on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Well, here he is, Snoozy McSnoozerson.
What do you mean?
Dean Richards, up until dawn, stumbles into work.
That's how I roll best, man.
Nice job last night. So I'm watching, and you know, listen, I don't need to be up at that hour. This is how I support my friend Dean. I'm watching, okay, the kid next door with the bottle rockets may have been part of the story. But I'm watching, and Dean is being attacked by flying gnats, insects, and other Navy pier bugs.
Very true. I did eat quite a few bugs last night.
Well, he did a great job introducing the fireworks. And then, tell me if I'm right about this. The fireworks last night, Channel 9, the show was kind of short, wasn't it?
The fireworks themselves?
Yeah, because I thought it was
15 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be 20, 25 minutes, and all you had to do was come back and go, hey, good to see you.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. You're a dead tap dance. You guys didn't see this. Dean tap danced?
Right.
He did his full Mariah Carey catalog, which I didn't even know he knew.
Vision of Love is the showstopper.
Yeah, it was tremendous. But nice job by you.
It was. Thank you. It was really fun. I enjoyed the fireworks. That's actually the longest fireworks display that they put on every year at
Navy. Is that right?
At Navy Pier.
Did not know that.
Last night,
I heard you mention it, but I'm pretending I didn't.
Was there? Thank you for giving me something to say.
Yeah.
They put on a great show. Chicago police, can't say enough about them last night. They were amazing. I mean, I've never seen so many police. I've been at the downtown fireworks many times. I've never seen so many police on the street. Everything was orderly. The people were, they were there to have fun. They were there to have fireworks. It was a very different kind of feeling last night, in the crowd, everything. Yeah, it was a pretty good time. I jumped in the lake afterwards. Fortunately, we ran out of time because I had worked out this whole water aerobics thing. like water ballet or whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it. I just enjoy
right,
it.
Right,
I don't
where really the TV truck hits the headlights and all we see is your hands flapping
right.
above the water.
I come out of the water like in Esther Williams. We had like a Busby Berkeley musical thing planned. And all of a sudden, boom, the fireworks start and then suddenly my dance number is cut.
It's tremendous because the two things Dean just referenced, unless you're already dead, you have no idea what he just said. So, at 8:13, the one thing you have to know if you get into show business is your ego better be able to accept the reality of the situation you're in. Uh-oh. So picture Dean, if you Uh-oh. Will. All right, picture him.
I'm picturing.
He's killing it. He's got a million people around him. Okay?
Yeah.
And then fireworks end. He's got like 10 minutes to fill on Channel 9. And everybody's walking out. Everybody. No. Everybody and their grandmother can't wait to hit the road. They're walking. Hey, take care, Dean. We're out of here.
I was thinking, you know, after the fireworks, there were some very nice people around us. Lots of them fans of, you know, telling me how much they enjoy Steve Cochran's show. They enjoy our segment every day. Oh, great. I'll have some people to talk to. You know, what did you think of the fireworks? Literally, the fireworks end, and I go, all right, well, wow, that was great. I look around me. Suddenly, 125,000 people.
Gone.
Gone from Navy Pier in an instant. You know, and I got nobody to talk to.
No, they're gone. As a matter of fact, the bugs flying around them were crickets that Dean was then eating.
Even the bugs left.
Which made for a really good segment, Dean.
Interestingly, even the bugs left.
Oh, they did as well.
I did not
know that.
I have never seen people move so fast. And you know, actually, I thought it was going to take me like an hour to get out of there.
Nah.
We got out of there no problem last night. The police were keeping things moving last night.
Yeah. Can you imagine the stress on the Chicago Police Department this weekend? I mean, good God.
It was
good
a
for them.
Busy weekend for them. They do a good job.
No doubt about it. There was some request to have Dean come out to the suburbs to the kid next door to me who blew off bottle rockets for five straight nights. Just have Dean stand in the yard and do the call for that as well.
Play by play on that. Yeah, I was busy doing that in my alley last night. Or as I was, this is actually true. And as I was driving home, we had to stop because there was some sort of big fireworks display going on in the middle of the street, and I couldn't get to my house. Ugh.
And I know July 4th fell on a Monday, but seriously, Saturday night, Sunday night, you couldn't get that done?
You people blowing off the illegal fireworks, try to do it on a non-school night. Some of us have to get up early, please.
Is it an economy thing or is it a crime thing? What's going up, the economy or crime?
Both very popular.
All right,
one fueling the other.
Dean has things to talk about, including Superman news, a brand new show business baby. To a delightful couple.
Yep.
Yeah. The fireworks stuff on TV last night had a couple of poignant moments. As do there's some news, frankly, about Orlando that needs to be told as the Broadway tributes continue, and good for them. And I got to ask your advice on something, because I don't think Jeff Garland and I are fighting, but we don't talk anymore.
What's up with that? You're good friends with him.
Well, I still think we are. But there was always this drop-by thing he'd do. Whenever he was in town, he'd just drop by the show.
Did you invite him?
No.
Maybe he was at Navy Pier. He was one of those making the mass exodus.
No, but if you notice, Garland doesn't come in anymore.
He was at Wrigley Field yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he feels that was his, Chicago commitment.
No, you would always come by, and he'd always go, you know, you're the only radio show I still do. Well, good, Jeff, that's great. And then I guess I don't invite him anymore. But I didn't think I had to formally invite him. I thought he was a drop-in.
Maybe you need the formal
invite. I mean,
there's
a few guys that are drop-ins, men and women. And I thought he was one of the drop-ins.
Andrea, do we know anybody who says, I'm not going to show up, I just want to be invited?
Let me think about it.
Do we know anybody like that?
Boy, let me rack my brain.
Listen, the minute you start expecting me to hold other people to my rules, we're going to have problems.
I wasn't even talking about you.
No, of course you were.
I don't know what you mean.
It's the bugs in your throat talking. It's 8:17. Cough a few up. We'll come back and more with Dean in a second.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
8:21. Dean Richards rejoins us. That, of course, is one of your many themes, recorded by John DeCoste, who premiered his Nick DiGilio song today. You know, Dean, it took Nick 30 years to get his own show. And then 3 years after he got his own show, he got his own theme song.
Can we hear it?
No. And later, before 10 o'clock, Before 10 o'clock.
Do we have to pay extra rights on it or something?
No, no, we could play it, but I don't want to take the time right now.
Okay.
If we have time before the bottom, we will. But in addition to that, there is a song for Andrea Darlis' trip to the convention in 2 weeks to Cleveland that John also did.
Can we hear that one?
Nope. All right, so.
You know what, though? I will say, when we do play it, Dean is going to love it.
Oh, you think so?
Really? Yes.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, a little tease.
I mentioned Jeff Garland. He was on your Channel 9 TV situation this
morning. He was. He stopped by the Big Number 9 this morning. He was on the, he sang the seventh inning stretch yesterday and, you know, was interviewed.
Is he the all-time leader in that? He's done it a bunch.
He's done it quite a few times. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, somebody who doesn't show up at the park. And, you know, you got to give him the words to take me out to the ball game and, right. You know, explain. He's a bona fide Cubs fan.
Big Cubs fan.
He was on there yesterday. About a year ago, I think it was, he introduced the idea of Cubs manager Joe Maddon being on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And It was like, ha-ha, joke. Joe Madden's going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm. We didn't even know if Curb Your Enthusiasm was ever going to be back again or not.
Right.
But it's since been announced that Larry David has announced that they are going to do it. Yesterday, after Jeff sang the seventh inning stretch, he shouts out of the booth, you know, at the end, Joe Madden's going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Joe Maddon. So this morning when he was on the show, we asked him a little bit more. We got a little more detail on it.
After you sang the seventh inning stretch, I mean, you had talked about this before, of Joe Madden's going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I announced that Joe Maddon will be, in fact, on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've discussed it with Larry. It's official.
When's Curb Your Enthusiasm starting up again?
We're going to start shooting next year, next year.
All right.
So it's not going to be for a while. Yeah.
You also mentioned during the game yesterday that you have a Netflix thing.
I have a movie on Netflix coming out.
You
play
like a Columbo-like detective.
It's a Columbo-like. It's called Handsome, and I play a Columbo-like detective. You know who the murderer is. Actually, the first scene in the movie is the murder. Steven Weber. Plays the murderer, and he says, "Hi, I'm Steven Weber, and I'm the murderer in this Handsome mystery movie." So it's just watching me figure it out, and watching me be kind of it's like if Charlie Brown played Columbo.
So we got a little bit of scoop from him. And had he stopped by your show,
yeah, we would have had it here too.
He probably would have had that.
And his ABC show is a big deal, right?
The Goldbergs also renewed, and he didn't make the announcement. It's been made a couple of weeks ago that when the Goldbergs come into syndication and reruns, will be right here on WGN TV.
Oh, there you go. Well, I like Jeff. I've always liked Jeff. You know, we've been friends forever. And if we're fighting, I'm not aware of it.
I don't think you are.
Yeah. So you're saying I need to invite him to have him come in?
I think probably he would like that.
Okay. He's the only Sandberg, person. Invite Garland in next time. Tell him sorry we missed him this time. And
he's here all week.
Sandberg, invite Garland in.
He's at Zany's on Friday and Saturday.
Just watching the show?
No, he's going to be performing at Zany's in Rosemont. So he's in town all week long.
So we'll get him in.
Plenty of opportunities for you guys to hang out.
All right.
Grab some pudding together.
Yeah, he loves the pudding.
Loves
the pudding.
Yeah.
His email used to be, pudding.
That's right.
And I won't tell you how many M's it had in it, because then you'd know.
I'm sure he's going to want to come on your show now that you just gave out his email address.
I'll give out his cell phone. That way someone else can call him and invite him in case I forget. At 8:25, we continue. There's a new show business baby. What's the story?
It is the new baby of actress Emily Blunt and her husband, John Krasinski.
She is so beautiful, Emily Blunt, and he is too.
They are both beautiful-looking people, and both that's like super nice, super down-to-earth,
really are nice people.
And nice.
And funny.
2 weeks ago, actually, the baby was born, a second daughter named Violet, but John Krasinski...
They named both their kids Violet?
No, the first daughter is Hazel.
Oh.
And the second daughter is Violet.
Oh, I thought you said second daughter was named Violet, as in they were both named Violet.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
They're both very pretty names.
I am drunk on fireflies right now.
Right.
I've got bugs in my teeth still, everything. Yeah. I got to stop at a gas station and
it's a hot look for you.
Scrape those things off. Krasinski yesterday tweeting out, what a better way to celebrate the fourth than to announce the fourth member of our family.
That's great. Good for them.
Yeah, very sweet.
And we have some Orlando news in the wake of the travesty of Orlando. Broadway and musical artists continue to salute. What happened?
Yeah, this is kind of nice. Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas did a concert in Orlando last night, and they invited survivors of the shooting at the Pulse nightclub, and they invited them to the show for free, set them up in a suite for free, did a big meet and greet and honored them. And also yesterday night, they released a little preview of a song that was just recorded by Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator and star of Hamilton, and also Jennifer Lopez, your former ex-wife. She
One of the eight.
They got together in a recording studio, and they recorded a song called Love Makes the World Go Around. I'll bet you'd like to hear a little of it.
I'd love to hear a clip right now.
What we got is love, even when the sinners hate us. We cannot let them diminish or intimidate us. We sing out, we got the rhythm and the truth on our side. We cut through the divide and we do it with pride. Wake up! A generation of innovators enabled to patiently wait for change, cause change is what they've been afraid of. The malevolence can wait, raise the level of debate, celebrate, elevate, love, love!
I like it.
Me too.
I like it. It's thumping.
I can't wait till we go out dancing.
That's going to be the song that I always request DJ Steve to play.
When you guys go to your raves?
Right. That's right. If either of us could stay up past 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Don't you have any Lennon sisters?
It's an early bird rave.
I like that song. What's it called? Staying Alive or something?
Play Chattanooga Choo Choo or I'll tear the roof off this sucker. All right, so J-Lo and Lin-Manuel Miranda, are they going to do some more stuff together? What do we know?
As far as I know, I think they've only recorded this one song together, but okay. It'll be released on, it's not on iTunes yet, it's going to be on iTunes very soon, and all the money will go to a mental health organization in the Orlando area that's been working with survivors, families of the victims, you know, working in the aftermath of that horrible tragedy.
Longtime fans of my work with Dean know that Dean and I do celebrity memorials like no other. This goes back to when Jack Parr passed away, and
that's
we did
right.
20 minutes on Johnny Carson.
That was the that was the turning point.
And we have a celebrity passing.
Because we are respectful that
yes.
way. A lot of people take these, you know, they don't take things seriously as we do. But yes, the actress probably best known as Lois Lane on the TV Superman, the original Adventures of Superman, passed away. Her name was Noelle Neal, and she spent 5 years on the Superman show. She was not in the first season. There was a different actress who got another job after the first season. I guess she didn't think the Superman thing was going to last. But it's pretty much been on the air ever since it went on the air back in 1952 in reruns. But Noelle Neal played Lois Lane, came back and kind of kept the legacy alive. She played Lois Lane's mother in the Christopher Reeves Superman movie in 1978. She's made appearances on a lot of the Superman-esque TV shows. She's continuously done appearances.
How old was she?
She was 95 years
old.
Wow,
what a good run.
95 years old.
What a good run that is.
And this is what I found. I was looking through her bio this morning, something really interesting I never knew. You know, back during World War II, Betty Grable was the pinup girl. All the GIs had pictures of Betty Grable in her bathing suit.
Yep.
That was the number one pinup. Number two was Noelle Neal.
Is that right?
Yeah, never knew that. And then I looked at some old pictures of her. And
then you saw why.
She's a looker. She's a humdinger, Steve. That's what she is. She's a humdinger.
Well, good. That's a nice tribute. And I'm not going to ruin it with any of my shenanigans.
Well, but come on.
No, I got nothing. I mean, if I had something, I would.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Oh, okay. Play the respect card.
I tried it. Anyway.
I love that.
Hey, take a nap, will you? That's Dean Richards live from Channel 9. Well, look who the cat dragged in. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll join us for the balance of the next 60 minutes or so. Welcome home, Brian Campbell.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, I was very excited to hear the news on Friday because we all know that you could have taken the money and run, and this is your home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you want to come back here and win a cup. So on behalf of all Hawks fans, let me just say thank you for that.
I appreciate that. I'm excited. So.
And Brian, you know, the last time Brian and I were together was before I was fired.
That long ago, yeah.
Right. And when I was fired, you know, when Brian left for Florida, I just said, screw it. I'm out of here. Either that or I stayed 6 months and then I got fired. But it's great to have you back.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm excited. So it's good. And it's good to be home.
All right, we're going to talk to Martin Short in a few minutes. You're going to be the co-host on the show for the next, you know, however long you can hang.
Canadian, so he must be a good
guy.
Oh,
yeah, Canadian to Canadian. How about that? Look out. I don't know if he knows anything about hockey, but we're about to find out.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Hi, I'm Jiminy Glick, and I'm sitting with a personal favorite because he's always angry. He's a curmudgeon about everything. And, of course, he is everyone's favorite. Larry David. How are you?
I'm well.
Tell me about all your different shows. You were on Friday.
I was, yes.
That was
a long time ago, yes.
Why was it called Fridays?
Well, because it was just like Saturday Night Live.
But not funny.
But not funny.
Yes. But you have a wonderful smile.
Thank you.
Yes, it's Thank like you. It's like getting an email from my grandparents. It's all caps.
Jiminy Glick and Larry David. Martin Short will join us in just a second. Maya and Marty, Tuesday nights. Well, that'd be tonight, wouldn't it? 9 o'clock on NBC, NBC 5. And then we have a Canadian surprise for Martin Short. But we don't want to give that up yet. As I said, he'll join us in just a second. Have you guys seen the show?
No, but I hear it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yes. Love Martin.
Yeah, it's very funny. One of my favorite live shows I've seen recently was Martin Short and Steve Martin, which was last fall out in Rosemont, I think at the Rosemont Theater, where Martin Short did something with an appendage and a skin suit that probably should have had him arrested. But it certainly surprised the women in the front row, and it was very, very funny. But Martin Short, is anybody funnier than Martin Short?
No.
Let's check.
No.
Nope. Just got the results back. Nobody's funnier than Martin Short and a good guy. He'll join us in just a second. Now, Brian, before – Jake, let me know when he's on the phone. Brian Campbell's here from your Chicago Blackhawks. That's right, sports fans. He's re-signed with the Chicago Blackhawks. Brian, when Martin comes on, I'm going to make you his special Canadian surprise.
Perfect.
Okay. We'll see how big a hockey fan he is.
Yeah. He's from the area. He's from Hamilton.
Is he a Hamilton kid?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A couple hours from where I'm from, so.
What's your family think of him? Do they like him?
Everybody loves him. He's Canadian. And he's hilarious.
He's the funniest Canadian I know. Is there a funnier Canadian?
There's a few good ones out there, but
who are some of your top funny Canadians?
Well, I like Jim Carrey as well.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's funny. Yeah,
Mike
yeah.
Myers, not bad.
Mike Myers, what happened to Mike Myers? He's basically disappeared.
Well, I don't know. I think Dr. Evil might have got him, but I don't know.
Is that right? That could be. Dr. Evil has taken poor Mike Myers. But are those your top three funny Canadians?
That's probably. I'm trying to think who else, because Canada Day was July 1st, so all the.
What about the new Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau? Is he funny?
I don't think so. I think he, from what I'm told, he likes to take selfies. So it's he's about. I don't know much about him, but I just hear it from my brother, and I don't know if my brother's.
How is your family? Thrilled.
They're really good. Everybody's really good.
Yeah,
I got two little girls now, two at home, one
How about
and three.
That?
So they're fun most of the time.
Yeah, isn't it great though to know that for the rest of your life you'll be told what to do and when to do it, and it's going to be perfectly fine with you?
I didn't know that's where you're going there, but yes, thank you. Yes,
that's exactly what it is. You know, you could be Brian Campbell, NHL superstar at work. You come home, it's your wife and your daughters.
Yeah, I got to be the big bad wolf at home. I got to run around and chase.
Your 3-year-old's probably old enough now. Are you playing Barbies?
She's not. She's into the animals. She's into dinosaurs and this Lion Guard.
Eventually, the one thing you're not going to want video to appear on the internet of is you playing Barbies.
You know what? I'm fine with that.
Who
if it's
cares?
If it's with my daughter, that's fine.
Yeah, well, I would hope. Yeah. If it's with Duncan Keith, we have a problem.
Sorry, I walked into that one.
Duncan Keith and Brian Campbell playing Barbies. How much would you pay for that video? Now, who have you heard from on the team since you agreed to come back?
I talked to... A few text messages, Kaner and Brent Seabrook.
Sure.
And Taze. And then obviously a few people in the organization, which is nice. So it's talked to Q a little bit, and it's good. It's
Soup, welcome back. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Nice long talk, right?
Basically. Yeah. No, he's been good. He's been good to me. So
you look great. You feel good?
I feel great. I don't know. I just keep going. So
what's this fountain of youth with you?
Just work hard, have fun, work hard, and enjoy it, and that's what it's about for me. So it's
well, you got the right metabolism, and I know you take care of yourself. But when do you start skating hard again?
For sure, early August. Camp keeps getting. We don't start September 20th, so I try not to get on too early. Maybe a little bit in July, just for fun, and then more in August.
All right, more coming up. A secret Canadian for Martin Short. In just a second. Before we get to the secret Canadian and the rest of the discussion, remember, it's Maya and Marty tonight, 9 o'clock on NBC 5. Quick traffic from Mary and then Martin Short. Is there anybody funnier than Martin Short? Have we covered this?
I don't think
so. Is there anybody funnier?
Nope.
I'm asking. Is there anybody funnier?
Nope.
All right, good. That's the right answer. So, Jiminy Glick touched me in an inappropriate manner at the Paramount Theater a few years ago. I was asked to come up on stage and be interviewed by Jiminy Glick, and I'm minding my own business, and he's shoving donuts in his mouth, looking sexy as ever, and he jumped in my lap, and he squeezed my right bun cheek.
How was that for you?
It was great.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he hasn't called since then. Martin Short joins us now, and there's nobody funnier than you, Martin Short. There's nobody.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you, Steve. And I remember the grab and the amount of that I grabbed, and it was an intense amount.
It was fun. It was fun for both of us.
It was a mutual funness.
And I talked to Martin at the time. I said, are you sure a weekend in Galena? Are we ready for that? And he never called.
No, that was it.
Hey, congratulations on the show. But prior to that, thank you for an amazing night with you and Steve Martin at the Rosemont Theater last fall. As hard as I've laughed in forever. And that suit that you wore that surprised the women in the front row with the springy boink thing. that is illegal in Rosemont. You were made aware of that, I hope.
It was illegal. Yeah, but I knew that I was flying out that night. You know, you tend to leave before they catch you.
You and Steve still...
Steve's in my show is... We've now added a name. You know, it's called An Evening You'll Forget for the Rest of Your Life.
Uh-huh.
But now we've added in brackets below, see them before they're dead.
Well, I'll tell you, and I hope you take this as a compliment it's meant to be. I don't pay for tickets. I paid for four for that show, right? How about that? And frankly, because I heard you and Steve Martin needed the money.
Yeah, we do. It's a tough life we lead.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. And Maya and Marty, very funny. And tonight at 9, and you're bringing a variety show back.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, 9 in Chicago. You're bringing a variety show back.
The what?
I said you're bringing a variety show back.
I suppose we are, but the reality is I always think that I don't know where it seems to have been back for a long time. It just doesn't, it's not called that. I mean, America's Got Talent, which is our lead-in, is certainly the old Ed Sullivan show, jugglers and puppeteers and singers and comedians. And that's variety. Jimmy Fallon does variety every night. He doesn't do Charlie Rose's show.
Yeah.
And so, and The Voice and American Idol. It's all kind of a form of variety.
I'm just thinking the America's Got Talent, and there's a lot of great people on that show and a lot of really inspirational folks as well, but they're not getting on your show. I mean, they're not even getting casting.
No, tonight we have Jerry Seinfeld, Amy Poehler, and Will Forte. You got to be those people.
Hello. How many are you doing? I mean, are you locked in for the summer?
Six. No, it's just a six.
Okay. Would you, and are you looking
for... I'm asking for more.
Yeah, and to
or
get...
Or Donny Osmond once told me the secret of you know, one-man shows is always leave them asking for less. But I say, leave them asking for more.
Right. Hold on, let me write that down. Leave them asking for more. Here's how I'll know you're in trouble. If NBC hasn't called, you're going to have maybe kids, an animal act, speaking of America's Got Talent, or they're going to give you a love interest.
Oh, that's Maya.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Now, who approaches who to do this show? Did she call you? Did you call her? Did producers call? How'd it come together?
It all stems from Lorne Michaels. Maya had done a very successful special the spring before.
Yep.
But she wasn't sure if she wanted to do more of those that way. And then Lauren asked me to put together with Maya the 40th anniversary of SNL musical section, which was, you know, about 20 minutes. And he said, you guys see what you think it might be. And, you know, the buck stops with him. So we started meeting with Mark Shaman and Fred Armisen, and we conceived of, you know, going to different platforms and the best of, and then we created this song, and she played Beyonce. And it was, Lauren thought, during when we were on stage, she thought, oh, that's what the show is. It's Sonny and Cher. That's it. And there it went.
The funny thing about Lauren Michaels, and Martin Short could certainly confirm or deny, because he knows him much better than I ever would, but when you meet him, if you didn't know he was Lauren Michaels, you go, well, where's the funny guy? Where's the comic genius? And yet, the guy's brilliant. Look at the talent he's picked through the years. I mean, he has very few misses.
Lauren is a really, really funny guy. I mean, I've known Lauren since the 70s, so my perception of Lauren is that he just laughs all the time. But people who are expected to be funny, no one's funny all the time. And
yeah,
if they were, you'd hate them, you know? So at times, if he's talking about the history of television, he's serious and he's calm and he's this. But at a dinner, he's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was out parking cars while you guys were having dinner.
Yeah, exactly. But I bet a lot of those ballet guys you were parking with were fun.
Some of them were, not all.
Listen, you can't get consensus anywhere.
By the way, I have a surprise Canadian in studio, and I'd like to introduce him now. The surprise Canadian just re-signed with the Chicago Blackhawks. It's NHL legend Brian Campbell. Say hi to Martin Short.
God's sake.
Hey, Martin. Hey, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Great. I'm from near London, Ontario. I know you grew up in Hamilton there.
I grew up in Hamilton.
Close by.
Very close.
You guys date the same girls?
Did we date the same girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. But in my case, a lot of the times it was against the law.
We were trying to figure out the funniest Canadians, and the list we have is you, Jim Carrey, and new Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Did we miss anyone?
Well, there are people like Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, sure.
Seth Rogen. Eugene Levy.
Oh, Eugene Levy's great.
Yeah. Bill Hartman. Mike Myers.
Yeah, and where is Mike Myers? We were looking for him.
You know, I think he's painting these days.
Oh, really? Wow. How about that? New artistic endeavor. Listen, I know you got to talk to a bunch of people, but I also wanted to thank you for one of the funniest books I've ever read. And it's not easy to write funny. It's Martin Short, I must say, my life as a humble comedy legend. You literally laugh out loud like a mental patient, and the people on your mass transit will wonder what's wrong with you. So get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one. And
Jimmy Kimmel told me once that he was on a plane and he was reading the book, and he was laughing so loudly that this woman, two rows in front, turned around and gave him that kind of obnoxious stare that you give to someone too loud. And he just held up the cover of the book and said, sorry.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that compliment, please.
Yeah, I like that.
It's tremendous. All the best, Maya and Marty. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, guys.
See you later. Maya and Marty tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC.
By the way, Samantha Bee. She's Canadian.
Samantha Bee's Canadian?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Is it just me or did our phone line, was our phone line a little goofy?
It was a little goofy, yeah.
Back to Blackhawks talk in just a second, 8:53. Brian Campbell, back with your Blackhawks, in case you missed it in the midst of your busy holiday weekend. More with Brian next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ladd wedged off the puck. Puck taken back by Campbell, left point. Drops it to Kane on the left half board. Here's Kane now, juking his way to the right, lower left corner. Should he score? Oh, no, that's turned wide by Leighton. Loose puck in the crease. And now it's in the net. They score!
It's in!
The Hawks win Stanley Cup! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup! Leighton is down on his knees in the goal crease. And that one looked like it slid past him into the net. They're going to go and take a look. They're going to take a look upstairs.
Back of the net.
It's in the back of the net. The Hawks have won the Stanley Cup!
Welcome back.
I got to be honest. Your dream. And I don't think Canner would, you know, be this upset about it. I think that's your goal. Did you take the puck? The puck was missing forever. Did you take the puck?
I do have it. I got to wait a few more years to let everybody know that, though.
Brian Campbell's here. All right, so take me through the coming home part. I mean, I think the answer is fairly obvious. You took a little less money, well, a lot less money, to come here because you love this. This is your home, and you want to win another cup. But you got a great young team in Florida. Was it tough to leave?
Yeah, the guys there are great. I think it was just a lot of good kids there and people that I'm going to miss. But I don't know. I think for me, it's just I played a lot of years in the league. And
yeah.
It's tough. We have a 1 and 3 year old, and I think it was just the best part was to be able to come back here, and you know, no more flying for my wife. And I know my kid, my daughter, starting preschool, and I know it's only preschool, but for her to be in the school with hopefully her friends for the next 30, 40, whoever knows how many years, something
stable life.
Yeah, I could provide, and plus I'm playing for the Blackhawks. It's I got a chance to win, and you know, I hope to be, you know, a Blackhawk now for life, and never leave this area, and never leave this organization. So,
how about that, Hawks fans love hearing that. Don't
so,
you?
I don't know. I just felt it was just time. It was just for us. It was going to be where we're going to be the happiest.
I know it was tough to leave because you and I talked when you left town quite a bit, and you know, it is what it is because of the salary cap and everything else. But to have you back now, does it seem like it's been, what, it's been five years?
Yeah, some days it does feel like five.
Well, part of it, though, is because, you know, full house every night here, and you guys played, and now I know this year was different, but early on when you got there.
Yeah, it was a challenge.
There weren't a lot of people in there watching you play.
No, we had a pretty good team our first year there, and then it kind of tailed off, and last couple of years has been a lot better, but... You know, it's just, it's not hockey. It is, but it's just not the same. It's
well,
you're not,
it's 80
playing
and it, sunny outside, you know, every day.
But you're not playing in a, I don't know, I've played so many years in Buffalo. That's a hockey town. Here's a sports hockey town, I think, and a sports town. It's just, to be a part of that and to be a part of that, this family is, you know, there's no better one out there in the league. So for us to be able to be excited, you know, my wife's like, I'm so excited to bring our kids to the game, and for her to come to the game, and there's a buzz every day, whether it's July or if it's, you know, December, January, and hopefully there's a huge buzz in June. So
I saw you last off season in the building, and we talked a little bit, and it seemed like this was a hope you had in your head then. I mean, I know you weren't talking about it then, but were you hoping the chips would fall this way back then?
Yeah, it's been like that for a few years. I think. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, it's... It's special for us, and you know, it's you know, I've always had it in the back of my mind, and now to have it here, it's just a great feeling to be able to wake up and train and be getting ready for this season to be the best I can be.
It's going to be a fun year, as I said many times, and I want to get Andre and Dave in here after the news. You know, we don't want to miss a second of summer, but we can't wait for you guys to get back, and here we are 2 weeks from convention.
Yeah,
it's going to be fast after that.
Yeah, it always is once this period goes through, and you know, it's once August hits, you're back on the ice every day, grinding it out and getting ready for training camp. So it's always hockey is always on people's minds, especially guys that are getting ready for it.
Last thing before the news, and Dave and Andre, I'm sure you see this as well. We do events all the time for charities and different things, and invariably there's sports giveaways. And, you know, as the MC, you know, how many Hawks fans are in the house? How many Bears fans are in the house? Whatever. I promise you, this is not an exaggeration at all. The Bears used to get the ultimate roar. This is always a Bears town. The Cubs got louder this year for obvious reasons at the end of last year. There's no louder roar at these events than for Hawks gear and Hawks stuff. Point being, this is, in my opinion, and I'm a homer, but in my opinion, this is as much a Hawks town as it is a Bears town or a Cubs town. Through the roof.
Yeah,
and you were a part of that at the beginning.
Yeah, it's amazing what has happened. So
I mean, when you came here from Buffalo, there was a lot of work to do to build that thing.
Yeah, I think the year before they started getting going, and now, you know, the first year I was here, it was sold out every night, and I think you could just see it just kind of rumbling through the city, and I feel like it's going to a Hawks game. I don't know what other event is better for live sports and the excitement and what comes with it and the anthem and everything. It's just, you know, you have to be in there in your seat before the game.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready, and you're not leaving your seat.
It's the best. It's absolutely the best. More with Brian Campbell coming up.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Campbell's got the rebound. Up ahead it goes. Jokinen through center. Had Huberto on the wing. Jokinen to the net. The drop for Campbell for the win. Yes, sir! Brian Campbell ends it off the feed from Huberto, and the Panthers win in Detroit again.
One of the heaviest shots for any defenseman in the National Hockey League, a bullet. And I've given you this compliment before, Brian Campbell, as we welcome you back to the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know if you were a hoops fan as a kid growing up in the 90s. Did you like basketball?
Yeah.
One of the great things, and Dave will back me up on this, was to see Scottie Pippen dribble a basketball. Scottie Pippen had this flow and this speed to him where it looked like the ball was a yo-yo. It was just attached to him. When you go end-to-end with a puck, it feels like the same thing. Right. Are you still that fast?
I better be. I hope so. I feel all
right. Right. Have they timed you lately? Because I did. I used to put a jug speed gun on him when he'd go end-to-end. One of the fastest guys in the league by far. Is that where a lot of your duty is going to come from?
I think for me it's about moving pucks, getting them into the hands. I feel like I can get back and get pucks and get it out of our zone. So hopefully we're not spending as much time. We're getting it up into the right hands and take it from there. So it's
how's your shot?
I don't have the greatest shot, but
what are you talking about? You got a great shot.
It's okay.
Q used to yell at you because you wouldn't take shots at times.
Well. That's some things never change, I guess.
Well, we look forward to you pulling the trigger. Let's get Andre and Dave in here.
Well, let's. You just mentioned puck possession is so important with this team. You're used to it. You know what is expected here. How much does that help coming here, even though you've been gone for a few years?
Yeah, I think it's definitely. I know a lot of the chemistry in the players. I think also I know how Q wants to play. It's always love playing a puck possession game and keeping the puck and making the right plays from there. So I'm hoping I can fit in pretty seamlessly and get back into the fold. So I think my qualities that I have done throughout my whole career are going to benefit this team.
I think the fans are super psyched, too, especially because everybody knows you. I mean, this is your hometown.
We've got some great texts, too, from people. Welcome back, Brian.
I got a couple, too. My friend used to teach with your wife and says, hello to everybody. So that's got to be exciting for you to be back on the social level, too, right?
Yeah, I don't think that hurts. I think, my whole street and where I live in Western Springs is pretty pumped up about it. And I think it's exciting. Every day it's exciting where, I think I haven't had that in a number of years. And, now it's going to be fun coming to the rink every day and the enthusiasm and the crowds. But, I think, definitely, the excitement around my area, my street is there. And
problem is the neighbors are all going to want tickets now.
Yeah. They'll come for you for those.
Yeah, okay.
You get the pink sweaters for your daughters, too?
We'll be getting everything, I'm sure.
No, that's a great point, yeah. Right? Because your Brian Campbell jerseys, if you haven't worn it lately, get those sweaters back out again.
Hey.
Did the fact that Pete Hassan is in a management position potentially keep you from coming back, or did you look the other way on that?
100% the reason I came back was for Pete Hassan.
Oh, is that right? Yes. Okay, sure it was.
Pete is, I've known Pete a long time.
Yes, you have.
He's an unbelievable person, and he's a big asset for the Blackhawks. He works there, and he used to work for the Buffalo Sabres when I was there. So I've known he's seen me.
A couple of Buffalo guys.
Yeah, he's seen me at my 20-year-old age. So it's we have
been around a long time.
Yeah,
it's McDonough and Blunk and all the guys on the hockey operation side, along with the guys on the ice. I mean, they're all thrilled as we are to have you back. I want to thank in particular, well, there's two people. Brandon Faber, who just left for a communications job with the Chicago Bears. One of those Faber luck because he's a great guy. But I couldn't be more thrilled for Adam Ragowin. Adam Ragowin, who busts his tail and takes 900 phone calls a day from going, hey, Adam, can you get Brian Campbell on his show? And manages to balance it all without having his head explode. Adam Ragowin is the boss in charge of this stuff now, and we couldn't be more thrilled for Adam. But more importantly than Adam, his son Gavin is I believe a year old today.
Today, yeah.
1 year old today. Aww. And if I have this right, wasn't born in this hour. Now I was at the hospital.
You were not. I know.
Not really was. But congratulations, Adam, on the job, and happy birthday, Gavin, as well, Dave.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Brian, the everything that goes into a game at the United Center and the anthem. What's it like to come back here as a visiting player after having experienced all of that?
No, it's got to suck.
I think you're definitely, there's an intimidation factor. You know how good the team has been and is going to continue to be. So I think it's definitely, you know, you hear that and you know you better be prepared right away because the team comes at you pretty quick on home ice. So, you know, it's, you know, I think you're also a little bit jealous, you know, like no other team has that. And there's some loud buildings out there, but I think Chicago, the atmosphere of it all is truly number one. So I think you're jealous of the fact that you wish you could play in that atmosphere every single night.
Some of the balance of power has shifted. You remember just two or three seasons ago, the East was a mess. And now, you know, the Caps are really strong. Obviously, the friggin' Penguins just won another cup. But the East has gotten much stronger. There seems to be better balance throughout the league. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's. I think obviously the West is still kind of known as being maybe the better conference but with some of the teams, and obviously the Panthers and the Lightning, and those teams are playing pretty good hockey right now, so it's kind of coming. But I still definitely feel the West is a little stronger.
Also want to say hi to a mutual friend of ours who couldn't be a better guy, Billy Nestle from Wilson Golf. And just a quick story of how you know, big shots end up playing golf together. So Brian hadn't played golf in a long time. This goes back to, I don't know, 2008. Didn't play regularly, I should say. And I said, there's a buddy of mine who's this up-and-comer at Wilson Golf, really good player, played at DePaul, handsome devil, Billy Nestle. And I said, why don't you and I and Billy go play at the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club? So we go out to the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club, and we play. Now, granted, you know, because I'm a little older than these guys, it was kind of like dad taking the boys golfing. But we're out there playing. We had a good time.
Yeah.
We had a really good time. Okay, fast forward 10 minutes later, I'm out of here, and Brian gets traded to Florida. Well, in the meantime, Billy Nestle has leveraged the relationship into being Jonathan Toews' long-lost brother.
His bestie.
He's like hanging out with Taser nonstop now. He's hanging out with everybody on the team. Do I get an invite? Do I get a phone call? Do you get an invite?
I didn't
do you
get any a phone invite. Call?
It's unbelievable. Do you remember when Billy Nestle used to talk to us?
I do remember. I wish he would give us. He still has my number, but I never hear from him.
He's the best. And Wilson Golf, reinventing that company as well, and he's a big part of it.
They're doing well.
They're doing very well.
Good product.
Nice to see you, buddy. You're always welcome here. I hope we can do a lot of this coming season, because I really feel like, you know, the reality show that you had and the movie roles you got were because of me.
I appreciate that, Steve. I'm up early in the morning, so.
Well, that's the thing. I was thinking, well, we're never going to get Soup on the show because you're up. You got a 1 and a 3-year-old. You're up anyway.
6 o'clock comes around.
I'm not even here then.
Time to go.
He's going, please get me out of the house.
We couldn't be more thrilled that you're back.
I appreciate that.
And I really mean it. You know that. And the Hawks are thrilled as well. So we'll have fun. We'll see you next week at the convention.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
919, going to teach us some stuff. Our friend David Hochberg, by the way, Blackhawks season ticket holder. Will join us next on 720 WGN.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you.
David Hochberg's here. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I just signed with the Blackhawks, too.
I signed. They wanted to have someone follow the Zamboni, and just sort of sweep
scrape,
up behind
scrape,
it, scrape
the shavings,
scrape the shavings up.
I got one Zamboni. You got the other.
Yeah,
we'll be dragging along.
That's about the level of our usefulness. So
I just want to be on the ice. That's fine. Behind a Zamboni.
I want to talk to you about one of our favorite guys and one of our favorite organizations, Rags of Honor. Before we do that, where are we at with housing today?
Housing today is great. Housing starts are still good. Interest rates are at all-year lows right now. It's at 2016 lows. This whole thing with Brexit, which I texted you to thank the people of Great Britain for completely destroying the bond market. Thank you for that. Interest rates are still low. Housing market's back. Housing signs are going up for sale. Signs up on the North Shore. They're going up and they're coming down in under 3-4 weeks. So there's a pent-up demand of buyers wanting to get their kids into the school districts before the school starts in, believe it or not, 8 weeks, 8-9 weeks. So housing stock is moving. And if you have something good, it's moving.
And if you have an interest rate in the fours, refi?
Yeah. Oh, definitely refi. Especially if you plan on moving in the next 2, 3, 4 years, you drop it into an adjustable rate mortgage in the high twos, low threes will save you a godly amount of money, which you could use to pay off other debt, which save you even more money.
So an ARM, you can get the high twos now.
Yeah. High twos, low threes. Yeah. The world insane. Is coming to an end, so you might as well enjoy low interest rates. And I'm the guy to get it for you. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
We're all going to hell, and I'm selling suntan lotion. So bring it.
It's at Pearl Mortgage, WGNDavid.com for all the various ways to connect to David.
Gotta feed my kids, yes.
Mr. Hochberg and I share a passion for helping vets. And by that, we don't mean veterinarians. We mean
my wife has a passion for that.
Yes. the deal is that if you've served in this country, you deserve the best for the sacrifice you and your family have made. And that's the premise behind Rags of Honor as well. It's outrageous that we could have homeless vets in this country. And I certainly hope you spend a little money at Rags of Honor over the weekend leading up to the 4th. But it doesn't have to be a holiday.
Right.
Rags of Honor is a screen printing shirt company that does these high quality shirts with all sorts of cool logos. Your company should use them. You should buy stuff from there personally. And all the people that work there are literally homeless vets who are getting back on their feet. And you know Doyle as well as I do.
Yeah, good man. Solid man. Has become a real good friend of mine over the past, thanks to you, over the past 12 to 18 months. We've built a great relationship and I've put in orders of shirts. We're sponsoring the Local 2 Chicago Firefighter Local 2 picnic on July 17th.
Cool.
And just placed an order for 500 made in the U.S. Shirts. And they're probably in production right now that we're going to be giving away at the picnic. And I just wanted to focus on what you said. He has a Shirt of the Month Club. And the money that's generated from that keeps the press is running.
Keeps the door open,
keeps the electric paid, keeps the water running, keeps the machines running, and more importantly, keeps these men and women out of the shelters. And Mark pays them a living wage of $13 to $15 an hour. And in order to support that, and a lot of people don't do that because Mark's got 1,500 hats on, and he does a great job when he can, but I'm gonna promote him as best I can by entering everybody that closes a loan in the month of June through December. From Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. I am entering them into the Shirt of the Month
Club. How about that?
They are going to get, it's a $24.99 value. We closed over 100 loans last month. So one person, if two people close, pick one, you're going to get a shirt for 6 months. I'm going to pay for it. Okay.
It's tremendous.
I'm dropping off a check for $25,000 to Mark's operation to cover the firefighter shirts and to cover the shirts that we're doing. And what the goal is that the people that are getting these shirts see the value and how wonderful they are. And Mark's going to send in, hey, this is your third shirt. If you want to sign up for the next 6 months, do this and I'll offer a discount if you want to do it to continue on for the full year. But I just want to just bring a little sunshine onto what Mark's doing. He has a Shirt of the Month Club. And if he could get 1,000 shirts sold, and I'm helping him, you know, if we do, you know, we did over, I think, 110 loans last month. We're on pace to do 130 this month. And my goal is to get it up to 200 loans by the end of the year. You know, you add all that up, that's 600-800 shirts going out a month.
Right.
That's 600-800 people that had no idea that Rags of Honor even existed.
Exactly.
And that this program is even there. And hopefully a percentage of them will just continue it on for the next 6 months. Or more importantly, give it as a holiday gift. I mean, if you want to give something valuable, you know, corporations are lining up now. What are we going to do for the holidays? What are we going to do for gifts? What are we going to do with it? What better than to give a gift of some type of value
that somebody can use? And explain to folks why it matters.
Right.
You get this high-quality shirt and you go, let me tell you the story of the shirt.
Exactly.
Ragsofhonor.us, ragsofhonor.org, both places. Can bounce you where you need to go to sign up for this. And you know this because you know Mark. Mark has been financing this on his credit cards for the last few years. He's not going to be upset with me for saying that out loud because it's the truth. Because what happens is he's very busy, you know, in running his own life and his own jobs that he's kind of put aside. Some things can't wait. So while he's trying to do the other jobs he can do, he doesn't have a lot of time to promote the business and get mm-hmm. the word out. So it's important that David Hochberg brings it up. It's important when we talk about it, but it's important when you talk about it. So if you would just do me a favor to at least look at ragsofhonor.us or ragsofhonor.org and tweet it out or right. Facebook it out and let your friends know so your own social network finds out. It is as moving an organization as it could possibly be. And you and I have both been to the facility sure. that he has where he makes these shirts, and you talk to these men and women, literally homeless vets, people that serve the country and sacrifice. They come home, and for whatever reasons, they end up without a place to live. And he's changing their lives by yeah. giving them this opportunity. And by the way, they're earning their way back.
They are. And let me tell you, he was having a couple of months, you know, where he was tight, and the guys knew it was tight. So they would punch out at like noon or 1 o'clock and work until 5.
Yeah.
And just continue to work because
just to fill the orders.
Just to fill the orders, because I mean that's the type of men and women of the armed services that Mark has that were living in a shelter that he not only gave a job but he found a place, an apartment right. for them to live. So I'm going to do my part.
And you know this too. I mean he has made car payments for the people that have worked there.
Bailed them out of jail.
I mean he keeps continuing to give and to give and to give. And the least we can do is get a high quality. And these are great shirts, by the way. A high-quality, good-looking shirt for you. So, you know, tell your softball league, tell your volleyball league, tell your league to go at ragsofhonor.us or ragsofhonor.org and get in.
Yeah.
Can you talk about this other project you're doing real quick?
Yeah. Mark Slaby, Mark Doyle, and Laura Spencer, Roy Spencer's wife, got together.
And Slaby's from the Illinois Patriot Education Fund.
Illinois Patriot Education Fund. We are setting up. We finally launched the we've been talking about it for a long time. I am looking for somebody to donate a home. We're calling it Rags of Honor Realty. And Mark has a 501c3 organization all set up. If you have a home to donate, we are going to accept your home. We will fix it up and hopefully sell it to a veteran. If we could sell it to a veteran, that's a benefit. If we could turn around and sell it and make a profit, that's even better. We're going to take the money. We want to do a trial house. We don't want to blow this up. I want to blow it up, but we want to crawl before we walk, before we run. So if somebody out there, we have a 501c organization ready to roll. You'll get your tax write-off. We'll send out an appraiser to get a value. We'll get into a CPA to give you the form so you can write off the taxes. We've got mega home improvement ready to go. We got Tom Jenke ready to go, who's going to be, you know, donating the doors and all the cabinets with his new kitchen supply outlet there.
Builder supply outlet, yeah.
Builder supply outlet. We have Lauren Roy Spencer ready to go to do the basements and all the plumbing. All Temp Heating and Air is going to do the heating and air. We've got everybody out there ready to donate time and services to get this first house up and running.
It's tremendous.
I need a house. So I'm out there. I am looking for a house. Go to WGNDavid.com. Send me information if you want to donate a house like that. Cars, you know, for kids, that nauseous commercial you hear all the time, cars for kids, yeah. over and over and over again. We want a house for vets, okay? And we're come up with our own jingle and everything else, but I need a house. I'm putting a shout out to the WGN listeners out there. If you have a house to donate that you want to take care of, here's how the money's going to be split up. 51% is going to go into the organization to give closing cost credits to veterans.
Okay, good.
And the other 49% is going to be split up between Mark Doyle's organization, Rags of Honor, and the other is going to be split up with Illinois Patriot Education Fund. You've got three great organizations. We're not taking a penny. I'm not charging. Any overhead is going to be minimal because I'm running it all through my company. Mark's running it through his, and Slaby's running it through his. So you got three of the most honest people out there, and Laura Spence is going to help out by getting the word out in Naperville, and you know, with the board of the Chamber of Commerce and all of her social interactions out in the western suburbs. We're just looking for one house,
right?
So if a listener has
and
a
what
house,
do they do?
Just go to WGNDavid.com.
Okay,
send me an email. Send me, you know, the
and address follow up phone number.
I will follow up personally. Yeah. I will take care of it personally. And thank you for the opportunity. And again, I'm going to enter everybody that closes with Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. This isn't a Pearl Mortgage thing. This is my group at Pearl. I've got 10 loan officers now. We're closing over 100 loans a month. So everybody that closed in June, one person, if two people, if it was a couple like John and his wife, if we did their loan in June, you know, Jackie would get the shirt because Jackie looks a lot better in T-shirts than John, in all due respect.
Yeah.
the cost.
He's not going to argue with
him. No, he's not.
No, of course he's not.
If it was a bathing suit, John, you would get the bathing suit of the month club. Yeah, and
that's
then,
later.
Yeah, that's later. So, you know, one person will get it, and then hopefully somebody within that 600-700 people that are getting T-shirts will sign up for another 6 months and Rags of Honor.
And by the way, I was told that to go to ragsofhonor.org.
Okay,
I gave you two websites. Don't use it for the other one. Ragsofhonor.org. Ragsofhonor.org, and you can order right there. By the way, things at Pearl seem to really pick up after Ross Cochran joined.
Oh, it was like somebody hit the nitro button on a drag strip.
Yeah,
just absolutely. It took off. You know, it went down the road perfectly at about 400 miles an hour, and everything's great. He's been there about 122 days now. Nobody's counting, and he's doing a great job. He's doing a phenomenal job.
He says nice things about you. I don't understand that.
It's those electrodes attached to his chair, so everything's working great.
Great to see you, David.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for the opportunity to have you in and talk about it. We'll come back. Orion Samuelson will join us in a few, and then John will tell you about a show coming up. We hope you'll come see on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a five. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! Big O joining us in studio. By the way, we continue to take texts all week long on the Make America Greater project. And this is all started by a guy making sandwiches at an Indiana rest stop in the backseat of his car, while blocking a gas pump that I was trying to get to. Just trying to encourage you to think about others. Think about other people, not just yourself.
And mayonnaise sometimes doesn't keep when it gets that hot.
It was hot.
Yeah.
708 texter, have your check filled out before you go into the checkout? That doesn't seem hard. Speed things along a little bit.
Sorry. How about... Sure,
people are just not aware of what's going on around them.
That I've never seen it more so to be the case. 847, Mom always told me to extend a hand of hope and help someone else. There's always somebody doing a little worse than you are. It's a nice thought. Parents should show common sense and respect. Don't bring your infants or toddlers to see scary movies. And I understand, look, everybody that's ever been a parent knows there are times when you go, I got to get out of the house, and I don't have a babysitter. Well, you don't take them into a restaurant or, a movie theater unless they are restaurant or movie theater ready.
Right. And don't even think of bringing them on a plane.
Text at traffic lights. Don't text at the movies. Say thank you more often, or just say no if you can't do something.
Why do you look at me? I say
I
no.
I wasn't looking at you.
Sometimes.
Never. Watch for pedestrians and cyclists. If you're driving your car, even if you're right and they're wrong, you're going to hurt them if you hit them. Use your turn signal. Don't sit in a handicap.
Don't do that.
They don't use your turn signal.
No.
I got to reach up to hit that. Don't I have an app that I could just think it and it would turn on?
You know, it kind of goes both ways. So if you're waiting to cross the street, wait for the light to change and you get the walk. Do you notice now people just
down here
run across the street?
You're
they
right.
think, oh, I can beat you. Yep. You know.
Or how about this? You're in the intersection. You're clearly turning. And the little stop hand has come up for 30 seconds. But there's one guy whose schedule's more important than yours is going to run in front of you.
Right.
Those people you can hit.
No.
Well, you should have been with us Sunday night trying to leave Arlington Park after the fireworks, and a street that normally is two lanes becomes a street that is one lane going one way.
Well, that's smart.
And in order to get into the line, I was in the lane that was going left, but we had probably 2 miles before we got to the intersection, and I just wanted to get over to the right lane.
Nobody would let you do it.
So I put my signal on. Gloria opened her window and put it out saying, please, the driver, and I hope he's listening, because I learned a ton of new words I had never heard before. It was the vilest language I've ever heard on how stupid we were to try to change lanes.
Did he have kids in the car?
Couldn't see. There were people in the car, but could not see. But it was vile. I mean,
just wondering, what you know, you're there at a 4th of July celebration at this beautiful facility. What could make you so angry?
Yeah.
What's going on in your life that you're that miserable?
Must have been a real pleasure living with him.
Must have lost a lot of money in the horses.
Well, that could be, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
None of it's excusable, though.
No.
So just think of other people. That's
not
all
that
we're saying.
Language.
And hello, Orion Samuelson.
Hello there.
How are you?
Had a great weekend. Quiet one yesterday, but races and fireworks on Sunday night. And I have to compliment the folks at Arlington Park because they do what I think is one of the best fireworks shows you'll see anywhere.
It is great.
Yeah.
It is great. You know, the two suburban fireworks shows that are just stellar, Bolingbrook and Arlington Park. And I'm not knocking your fireworks shows, but I would put those two up against anybody because they just go nuts.
It was great. And I heard upwards of nearly 40,000 people at Arlington.
Good.
Yes.
Support the facility. Support
absolutely.
The venue.
And, of course, they kept promoting the Arlington Million, which comes up August 13th. And that's going to be a big one. Mr. D said they're getting some great horses, some foreign horses. And so, yeah.
Every year, Orion and Gloria are nice enough to host this show. But this year, being what it is, Orion has asked me to wait outside. No, we'll all be there.
No, just wear a tie.
Yes, you know what?
Yes.
How many times a year do you see me in a tie?
Once.
I hope you appreciate this as respect for you that I actually put a tie on.
It's true.
Well, one of our guests on Sunday, we emailed him twice, jacket and tie. He came without a tie, and he couldn't get in until they gave him an old tie.
Is that right?
Do they have spare ties? Yeah. Are they like shame ties? You know,
no, they were
like
pretty good.
Bright
no.
rainbow, funky colors with bling.
There used to be restaurants all in New York in particular,
yes.
but restaurants in Chicago as well, where they would keep a collection of jackets.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do that at Arlington, too.
Yeah, because if you don't have a jacket, you're not allowed in.
I still think you should have the shame tie, though. There should be bedazzle or something sparkly on
a
the
big
tie.
Big foofy bow tie.
Exactly.
Yeah, without a doubt. We've had another weekend of really no rain. Are the farmers hurting?
Well, the rains were heavy south of us, and if you take a look at some of the Missouri, Iowa amounts, 6-7 inches of rain, and southern Illinois, I'd say Springfield on south, heavy rains, and we're looking at the market this morning that is a sharper drop than I've seen in years in the corn and soybeans, and I would guess part of that is the rain, but if you're here in northern Illinois or in Wisconsin or Minnesota, we didn't get it, and so I would say midweek, everybody hopeful the showers will bring some rain, because we're at the crucial time. Oh, incidentally, I have to say you're welcome to the people that emailed me to thank me for corn porn. And I had a lady come up to me in church Sunday saying, I've been waiting for that for the last month.
I felt like we shortchanged you, though, because we didn't add the typical music. But detasseling corn is corn porn, and I don't know. It's as delivered by you, there's really no other way to describe it.
Well, that's the real, honest description of sex in the cornfield.
Yes.
Maybe we should, no pun intended.
Not involving a farmer's daughter.
I was going to say, maybe we should do it again.
Well, I think we should, but I think it needs to be a surprise
and
something
that
comes
ears?
Unexpected.
Oh.
Look what happened there.
Yeah.
I know. It's okay when he
All
does
right.
it somehow.
I know.
As we progress forward here, people always ask, how's Orion doing? He sounds great. So what's your health like? How are you feeling?
Health is fine, except my legs still trying. I'm now walking a treadmill every day to try to improve circulation and hoping to avoid some vein splicing in my legs. So other than that, heart, cow valve, pig valve, working just great.
Yeah. How about that?
As I keep saying, agriculture is in my blood.
Literally.
Literally.
Literally. By the way, do you chase cars now? Wait, no, that's a dog, isn't it? It's not a cow or a pig. Hey, before we go, so last night I did a little barbecuing.
Yeah.
You know, and threw some fresh corn on the grill.
Right.
Just put a little garlic, salt, butter in there and wrapped them up in foil.
Foil, yeah.
Tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that was what you told me to do. Is that an Orion special or is that a standard thing?
Well, I've been doing it for years, but I'm sure somebody started it before I did. And the thing now is, I would say I haven't checked with Gary Pack up at MeRye yet, but I would say within 2 weeks we may be getting MeRye sweet.
Oh, boy.
On the market.
All
and
right.
And we are getting corn that is locally grown now is beginning to show up. But, you know, at a farmer's market this time of the year, generally bring it in from Kentucky or some southern state where they plant earlier than we do. But talking to Tom Hallett at Tom's Market on Algonquin Road, down the road from us, he said, yeah, we'll be getting very close. So.
Yeah, let me tell you something. For people that don't work here, and that's probably most of you listening, when the Mirai sweet corn is brought in, you could literally open the door of the ATM machine down the hall, and people go, wait, no, leave the cash. I'll take the corn.
Exactly.
That stuff is unbelievable.
It really is.
And that is showing up at more of the local farmers markets, too.
It is. Yeah, right. And, you know, that corn, most of the seed that they produce goes to Japan. Because the Japanese people love sweet corn. And so most of the seed they produce, they keep enough for their own production. But a lot of it goes to Japan for that reason. There's one more thing I do have to mention, because this concerns farmers, ranchers, but non-farm consumers.
Okay.
Food Labeling Act. We thought we had it about 6 weeks ago, and it fell apart.
Okay.
But last week, a Senate vote approved the National Food Labeling Act. It will go to a final vote in the Senate probably Friday. And I can't urge people enough to let their senator know that they should vote yes on this, because as of now, Vermont is the only state in the country that has a statewide food labeling act. And you can't expect food companies to label products only for Vermont and then for the rest
of the country. No, it's cost prohibitive.
So I'm not anti-labeling, although I don't think it's necessary. But we can't have a patchwork state by state.
No, allow these companies.
It's got to be a National Food Labeling Act.
And it's an easy thing, or it should be an easy thing to get passed.
Well, we thought so about 6 weeks ago, and it fell apart. So let your senator know that the vote Friday is important.
I know everybody ran into a lot of people to remember and say hi to over the weekend. A quick hi to Chris Walker, bartender out at the VFW in Naperville, and all you VFW types all around, part of the veterans we salute all the time here on 720 WGN.